find yourself in danger when you're shopping by a stranger. When it looks like you will take a licking. There is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you.
Call out for Super Ficken.
But if you're afraid, you'll have to overlook it.
Besides, you knew the job was fucked up when you took it.
He will drink his super soak and throw the bad guys for a loss. And he will bring the skin alive and kick it. There was one thing you should learn when there is no one else who can do.
Call out for Super Ficken. Call out for Super Ficken. Greetings, ogling, wigger, and mazer-ass clowns across the fruited and nutted Zog Plain, in the open-air, coast-to-coast nut house that we call Zog Babylon, the third and the final. And since this is the finished movement turd, you more than likely will be listening to this, especially if you're Brian Real, as nasty and evil mazer faggot as ever there was one. But, you know, and Eli James, the Jew, and a bunch of other little tars like Oba Gender Bender, the supposedly Aussie Mamzer, you know, pisser pister possum. But in any case, getting on with it here, this is, and my main message is to the found or the lost sheep of the House of Israel, waiting to be found. Now, this is episode number 82 of the Movement Turd, and the chat was on the 7th of August, 2011. And it was a secret program, but we had quite a good chat function right then and there. But the name of this would be is that things are not as they appear. And what I'm talking about is that maybe I went ahead and covered Hill Covington's Northwest Imperative Facebook page and a number of other things, and I was looking at it. Now what you see is you have Steve Elder, a.k.a. Command Dork McFag, a.k.a. Son of the Mist, or Spawn of the Mist, or Gorilla Son of the Mist, or whatever you want to call him, a rather delusional Tubal Kenite Pictish Mamzer, who hasn't had a job for years, and who relies on his squaw working at for the state of Washington to support the worthless bastard. And, here's this character running around, and I was fighting with this other Pennsylvania faggot, Richard Giesecke of Titusville, Pennsylvania, who thinks he's a wilderness, but he has to go ahead and interfere in Christian identity on behalf of his fellow Mamzers, McFag, Steve Elder, and a few other tars. And then you had another Wheelos Mamzer tar named MacDog Williams, who I think is with McFag. And I was looking, and this came afterwards, but I was looking at Covington's Facebook friends page on Northwest Imperative, and guess who I seen among the other creatards. Now, folks, creatards shouldn't. I mean, normal creatards should not have anything to do with Harold Covington's Northwest Imperative, because Harold Covington has been far more meaner to creatards, create turds, than even I am. Even though they're mainly urban, eastern, Anglo-mestizos. But he went ahead, and Covington has made fun of Benny Buttfuck Klassen, the Ruthenian or Ukrainian Jew, self-hating Jew, who went ahead and converted his little Jew book, his little Talmudic scholarship here from being a rabbi's son from Eastern Europe, into a white man's Bible, which is nothing more than just a, nature's eternal religion, cosmetology, which straightens up kinky black hair, according to Wigger Swell Williams. But Covington has made a lot of fun of, Benny Buttfuck, because he was a Jew who made up, supposedly, really, for Anglo-Mestizos, a religion claiming that they're white and worshiping Uyghurs and Anglo-Mestizos just like Jews worship themselves as a people. Does it have any relationship to anything? No, it was just some crap that was brought up by essentially a self-loathing homosexual Jew who was looking like Dickie Barrett for some, Uyghur mangina and getting it, occasionally knocking it over. And croaking itself off here, kicking its own bucket, and back in 1972 or whenever it kicked its own bucket, maybe 1992, I forget when. Not soon enough, regrettably. But here you have these people claiming to be creators and reverends of creativity, just like the Reverend Mongoloy Hardy, who claimed to be that after Matt Hale got sent to prison. And then got out of it when he was getting his ass threatened to get whooped because he's just another retard with a shaven head. But here you have these creators, and a lot of them are Polacks, not even judged white by most pure-blooded Germans. The Poles and Germans, you know, the Germans and Slavs never did like each other, and it got even worse. I mean, when the Slavs first showed up, they were called the Wends. And they were invading, they were invaders from the east. Some of them may have been late arriving mongrelized Israelites. But essentially, they were not liked, even when they were trying to get into Germany and being fought back from Asia. Trying to get away from the Huns, trying to get away from the Khazars, trying to get away from the Magyars and Hungarians, what have you. So they were not liked when they were Wends. And then later on, when they came in, there was something called the Nach am Drosten, you know, Ulsten, which meant march to the east, where the Teutonic Knights, who got cheated by the French Knights and the English Knights, simply went back and got a commission to essentially turn these Wends, these Polacks, these Slavs, whatever, to either Christianity or to kill them all. And essentially what it was is it was used as a racial means to go ahead and kick them back from where the German people, the Saxons, who did not go to England, or with the Angles, to go ahead and essentially fight, you know, and regain old territory which had been taken by these Wends, by these Polacks, by these Slavs, by these whatever, and kick them back to whence, you know, at least back a little ways. But a saying among my Prussian, and what they were Saxon peasants who were moved eastward by the Teutonic Knights. A saying of that was that Asia begins on the east bank of the Oder, even though they lived 8 miles inside the Oder, around Friden Road on the Oder. They were born, my great-grandfather, Ernst Schmidt, was born in Potsdam, Prussia. He was the son of Walter Schmidt, who was killed, Corporal Walter Schmidt, who was killed at Sedan Day on, well, the very first Sedan Day in 1870. And so Ernst served in Bismarck's army. His brother Dan didn't. He went ahead and joined Ernst on the plains of eastern South Dakota. But the saying was is that the Oder begins on the east bank of the Oder. And that is true. That's true, just like the Italians. The Northern Italians say is that Africa begins on the south portion of Rome. That's where the niggers begin. So, folks, you have all these critters coming in, and you would think that if they really believe in creativity, they would not be joining Harold Covington. Would have nothing to do with Harold Covington, but yet he is an inundation of these critters with nothing better to do playing at stuff. Sort of like this faggot, Pennsylvania faggot, Richard Giesecke. Just like McFagg, a Tubal-Kenite Pictish Mamzer, who was following the Chicago Jew boy, known as Eli James. He used to be known as Joseph November, before that as Joseph Cutts, and who knows before that. So what you have is you have Jew boys, and you have Mamzers, and you have faggots, and the rest of them. Why are they hanging around Covington? Answer, because they're delusional. They have nothing else better to do. But they do not belong in any white nationalism organization. They certainly don't belong around with Covington. Now, today I was looking around, and of all the people I've seen, there was none other than Scott Thornton. And now he's a creator. He's a creatard. But 6 years ago, 2005... here he was with Morris Gallet in a scatterbrained idea from the Church of Sons of Yahweh, and Gallet had been kicked out of various nations, but here he was pretending to be a real badass Christian identity person, a Christian identity warrior, and they both went to prison. Gillette and Scott Thornton. They got set up by Joshua Caleb Sutter, who in turn got set up as a so-called Christian identity of August Crisis Bunch by some other retard, and who knows. And what you have is that you have these retards, they go ahead and they get threatened with prison, and they fold and they snitch. And that's exactly what. That is exactly what Scott Charles Thornton was doing. Here he is, a creatard now. 2 years ago, he was saying he was Wolfram Odinson. He was now a Wodenist. And, oh, he was getting on me for being nice to Gillette and saving Gillette's church for him and all that. Well, I'm no longer on good terms with Gillette because I believe Gillette is a snitch. I believe he still is a snitch. And he's hanging around with Alan Truitt, who's hanging around Eli James. And back in the day, Morris Gillette and Eli James were not friends. Dan Johns, serial polygamist Manzer, was not friends. So what the hell happened? What the hell happened? And the answer is that the only reason that Scott Charles Thornton is now on Covington's Facebook thing is to go ahead and spy, is to go ahead and find fools, to go ahead and befriend them, and to betray them. From what I gather, he don't have any reason. I mean, if he was legitimate, he would have just simply, once he served his, what, 5 years in prison, he would have just simply left the movement. Said, hey, nothing more to do with it. But now, he's playing creatard with all the other tards. Why is that? And the answer is that these people are not what they appear to be. They don't actually believe what they claim to believe. They don't do what they say that they would do. Why is that? And the answer is that they're not what they appear to be. And folks, when someone is going ahead and lying, that should tell you something. When somebody's lying about who he is, what he actually believes, and they're not going ahead and following what he ostensibly believes, that should tell you you have a liar on your hands. If you have a liar, you're more than likely you have a criminal and a Zogbot on your hands. And that's exactly what the hell's happened. That's exactly what's going on. Now, why do Whiggers do stupid shit? And the answer they do stupid shit is because of Whiggers. Yahweh said that the racial aliens, these Mamzers and these Jews, would be raised very high and they would be put very low. And now we see riots in England, but we also see riots in Milwaukee where niggers are just simply running wild. Packies are just running wild. Idiots and Mamzers are just running wild. And the Whiggers are just simply getting ass raped and taking it. Why is that? The answer is because Whiggers are cowardly. Whiggers are stupid. Now, if they decided that they would not only not produce, but they would rise up and destroy the regime criminal oppressors, that would be the end of it soon enough. But it's not going to be the end of it. It's not going to be the end of it until the Great Tribulation comes along and deals with the heart of our problem, which is not a nigger problem, it's not a beaner problem, which is not even a Jew problem, but rather a Whigger problem. So, folks, we're going to go ahead and play the theme song. I always go ahead and bring around to why we how and why we have a Whigger problem. But what I wanted to go ahead and discuss, as always, is that, and the theme is that, you know, some things are not as they appear. And what you should be is that you should be discerning. My friend Jim Floyd said that discernment, is being able to go ahead and know who, if you're walking through the desert, who is going to carry the canteen of water which will go ahead allow you to survive. Can you trust that person with your life? Most of these people, they're good friends, they befriend anybody, they don't even know who they are. Discernment, sadly lacking among today's Whiggers. So folks, we have a 3 hour or so show tonight. I hope you enjoy it. And I'm going to go ahead and get it out. It's a Sunday night show. I'm going to get it out Wednesday night. So, hearken here and hail victory, folks. Yes, I admit we got a Whigger problem. Whiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro. Stupid ways you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Build a drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro. And they're always eating crop. I wake up and ride away. Stupid wiggers come to mind. The way they run to and fro. Stupid wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Wiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro. Stupid wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Build the drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro. And they're always eating crop. Wiggers keep remembering how good God used to be. Being taught long ago our freedom's memory. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Wiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro. The wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Build a drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro. And they're always eating crop. The way they run to and fro. And they're always eating crop. Now, okay, folks, this is going to be the sort of pre-show of the Movement Turd number 82. And essentially, there's a bunch of crap happening on the white nationalist movement. But after, what, 5 weeks, Russ Walker has come back from vacation. I'm not sure if he wants to say how his vacation went. That's pretty well up to Russ. Anyway, we're going to go ahead and talk about some of the items which is going on in the movement that he knows about, and we're going to go ahead and also talk about the credit default and perhaps the shootings in Norway or whatever Russ wants to go ahead and talk about. I'm going to try to actually interview Russ or listen to Russ rather than go ahead and try to talk over Russ, although I'm bad about that. So how you doing, Russ?
Hey, pretty good. Hey, let me start out here. In the book of Revelation, I don't know exactly where it is, it says that Babylon is fallen. And
Revelation's chapter 18.
Okay. And it appears to me that Babylon is in the process of falling, being corrupt, tied to debt money, French reserve banking system is slowly collapsing because utterly it's just a sucker. It just sucks wealth from all the productive people in the world. And it can only go on so long until the people who produce the wealth literally have nothing more. We live in a strange world. These people, these movie stars and all these other clowns who produce no wealth whatsoever are viewed as, their opinions are asked. What do they believe about politics this nature? And they know literally nothing. Where the guy who's the carpenter, the plumber, the farmer, the welder, the nurse, engineer, other people who actually create wealth, the elevator, the guy who fixes the elevators and everything else, these people are all basically viewed as trash. I mean, it's unfortunate, but that's essentially the way it works. The productive are suppressed. I don't know if that's the right word to use or not, but and this can only go on so long. The time will come every quarter, every half, whatever the deal is, they quote, reassess or reanalyze, which means they just buy and sell a whole bunch of stuff to make sure they get commission for themselves. So my attitude is that I see the whole system collapsing. The U.S. has a, we don't even have money in this country. We have slugs and script, paper script, and slugs made from copper and nickel, and they're trash. I mean, when I was a kid, we used to have silver. My daddy had, there was gold. There was gold in the streets till 1933 when FDR took it away. So this latest downgrade is just, I'm surprised it's taken so long. I mean, they have a deal where the Congress almost defaults on the whole thing. And it can be argued that a fall match took place in 1933. That's another point. But and this debt, which almost defaulted on the other day, they now going to rate a triple A. I mean, am I screwed up or not?
Well, Russ, I'm not quite sure if you got that. We went ahead and talked about it a little bit. Right now, I have a secret talks to account, but I use it for. Essentially, I use it for chat. I don't actually go ahead and say anything on it. Right now, you are on the speakerphone, and this is before, you know, this is about 30 minutes before the show is about to start. And in any case, that's how I go ahead and run it. Now, while you were gone, and do you mind saying where you were at? Or
no, I was in Maine. No, well, what's in Maine for the climate? I enjoyed being out there, quite frankly. My wife had a serious problem. She had brain surgery when we were up there. She had a hematoma in her brain, and her brain was compressed about two-thirds of its size. It was called a CAT scan, and they operated on her. She had a six-inch cut in her head. They basically sucked the hematoma out, and they sucked the blood out, whatever the deal is, and you just had to recover. It was a surprise. We weren't...
Well, I'm glad that you and your... Well, your wife's alive, and that it all worked out for the best.
And another stop in life. Life's not fair. Life's not right. But so we finally had she was in the hospital at Maine Medical in Portland for a week, and then she was 2 weeks in the rehabilitation center. And then we had a 1,000-mile drive down in North Carolina, driving to the Carolina heat. The heat's terrible today.
Okay.
The heat index is up like 107. I mean, I hate the summers down here. When I was a kid, I could take it, but I can't take it anymore. I don't know how we did it.
Well, it's the hottest I've ever seen in Missouri, just like on February 8th. It was the coldest I've ever seen in Missouri. It was minus 8. And this year, it was a minus 110, which is the hottest it's ever been in Missouri. Well, they say since 1954, which was about, 4 years before my time in any case. But it's been, right now there's a thunderstorm coming in, and I hope it really goes ahead and rains. But I've had to go ahead and water my garden. There's a number of things which went on in the movement, and I really did miss you, Russ. Essentially I got kicked off of this little TeamSpeak by this little INT Jew character who went ahead and broke an agreement. And a number of things happened, and I'm not really going to go ahead and get out. I'm back on TalkShoe.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, I'm on TalkShoe. It's on a secret thing. I sent you an email.
Does TalkShoe know all the details of this thing or not?
Oh, I ain't telling TalkShoe shit. Essentially, some of these people, a few people have gone ahead and given hints as to what the host's name is. And I went ahead and used an old email for somebody who'd been kicked out of a number of forums previously. So I had a little bit of fun at it here, but essentially Brian Real is starting to lose the internet war. Now, right now, whitenationalist.org is down, but I was told it was because of a bad hard drive. Although he made a bogus DMCA complaint, it was of him and a little bundled up with an AR-15 or something. And what happens, I deleted that. I went ahead and on the new server, he's already made 3 bogus DMCA complaints. And what I do is I just simply go ahead and I disable or delete or do whatever on the file, and I just go ahead and truck on. And I've been writing the lawsuit sort of patiently. I got it about a third done, and I've had a number of thoughts about it, and Brian Real went ahead in March, and he went ahead and made a complaint about you and me. He made to Lake County, Ohio Sheriff's Department. He opened up an investigation on you, me, and Pastor John Britton, and most of it was over this number 46, where he went ahead and goaded John Britton into yelling at him. And poor little faggot. I mean, he's just scared of his life.
What did I do to offend Ryan Rio?
Oh, he thinks that you have something to do with, having a whole bunch of telemarketing callers call him or something like that. I'll go ahead.
Absolutely. I can tell you that's absolutely false.
Well, yes, it's false. I mean, shoot. I've told people on the last couple of movement tours that actually I really have no intention of having any bad things happen to Brian Rio. Because, as I say, he's my little Judas Manser. I mean, anybody like Eli James or Steve Elder or whatever who says that he's white, I know that they're either a Jew or a Manser themselves here. So he's my Judas Manser. So anybody who tolerates Brian...
Brian Rio's made enough enemies in this world that you and I don't have to worry. Someone's going to screw with him. And it ain't going to be some character in Missouri or some character in North Carolina. It's going to be someone in his hometown. Just with his personality and the way he deals with people, somebody's going to give him a hard time in Ohio.
Well, he's having his very first come out of her for the first time in 3 weeks. He's been hiding out here, and on the 13th of July, he filed a bogus federal lawsuit against Global Community Credit. He's all mad because he says they've harassed him. He wants $1,000 in his Jew lawyer's bills or something. I think they went ahead, and from what I gather, perhaps the insurance fraud business isn't going as well. And from what I gather, maybe they want to go ahead and take the Toyota pickup truck. I don't know.
While you're talking, I have the weather.com website up here. In Springfield right now, it's 90 degrees. Raleigh is 89. So it's still pretty warm where you are. Of course, the sun's probably still shining up there. You're in the central zone.
Oh, yeah. It's it's heading toward... I mean, we're past the longest day of the year, but it gets dark around 8:15 my time. So it'll get dark about a half hour or so from now.
Yeah, it's dark right here.
But it's supposed to have a thunderstorm, another big thunderstorm, and it has been extremely dry here in Southwest Missouri. But getting back to the little deal that they made, Friday Standard & Poor's went ahead and downgraded the investment quality of, quote, sovereign debt from AAA, the highest things, to AA.
AA, right.
AA. So, essentially what happens is that they went down by a little bit. They went down actually by about two grades because they could have been capital A, small A, but now it's just AA. And I went ahead and actually read their 8-page report. And what they said was quite the truth here. The little budget deal that they had is that the Tea Party people told Bonnier, screw you, we're not going to go ahead and raise the debt ceiling unless we're going to go ahead and we'll kick the can down the road. But essentially, you're going to have to go ahead and figure out how to make some spending cuts without any tax cuts. Now, they don't want to go ahead and make the rich pay taxes on all the stuff that they've been looting out of the country. They don't want Wall Street to pay, anything.
The rich will never pay taxes. Who's kidding who?
Yeah, well, the rich will never, don't want to pay taxes, even though they want to go ahead. I mean, they want to privatize, gains, and they want to socialize losses. And that's what happened,
Exactly right.
And during this last week, it was supposed to go ahead and go Tuesday. But at the end of last week, essentially, Bonnier got sort of screwed in Tea Party.
Jackass.
He went ahead and said, "Is that we're going to go ahead and do it on two different things?" And but according to the constipation, these representatives in the House of Representatives should have said, "Is that look, nigger." You don't get to go ahead and pull a 14th Amendment. You don't get to go ahead and spend money we don't have. You don't go ahead and get to raise the bond. There was no danger of a default because essentially they take in about, $200 billion or so a month on the good months and a little, you know, $150 on the lean months, and they had more than enough to go ahead and pay the debt, any debts that came due. They had enough to pay Social Security. They had enough to pay a number of things, but essentially
they have plenty of money. They're probably one of the biggest bills is a bill to the Federal Reserve.
Oh yeah, well the debt to the Jew Bank. Ron Paul went ahead and said, why don't we just simply nationalize the Federal Reserve and therefore any debts that we owe them, a.k.a. the supposedly $1.6 trillion that they claim, although it's more than that. Well, since it goes ahead and becomes nationalized, then we don't need to go ahead and raise the debt ceiling because we're $1.6 trillion underneath it. Now, what Turbo Timmy did is that he stole from the pension funds for the federal employees, so of this debt limit, $200 billion immediately disappeared because for throughout June and July and half of May, he had gone ahead and was essentially going into the pension funds of the federal employees is what he was doing. So now that's already gone ahead and disappeared. But getting on with Turbo Timmy, as people say, they call him Turbo Timmy because he didn't pay his taxes here, and he blamed it on this TurboTax he used.
There are millions of people ain't paying taxes. What the hell's the big deal?
Well, yes, but he's the Secretary of the Treasury.
Oh.
He's in charge of the IRS here.
Yes.
He didn't pay his taxes.
It's called do as I say, not as I do.
Do as I say, not as I do. And, essentially that's the little game that they went ahead and played. Well, anyway, the House of Representatives finally passed the thing and said, well, we demand a balanced budget amendment. The Congress got to pass it. Well, how's Congress going to pass it? How is anybody able to guarantee if the states will ratify it?
Look, these guys thought a balanced budget amendment. What a bunch of crap.
No. They had a chance for. They didn't need a balanced budget amendment. All they had to do was simply refuse to raise the debt limit. And presto, you end up having a balanced budget because if they're not going to raise the debt limit, then they already have they already had what they needed.
Let me tell you how corrupt this is. We have a First Amendment, freedom of speech and expression. Just don't say nigger. We have a Second Amendment, allegedly have a right to keep and bear arms. Millions of guys are in jail for gun laws and all kinds of gun things and everything else. We have a Third Amendment
quartering troops or soldiers.
Yeah, okay, that one apparently is still in place. We got a Fourth Amendment, search and seizure. Hey, every search and seizure is legitimate nowadays. We have a Fifth Amendment, witness against oneself. Sure, the IRS depends upon people filing tax returns which are witnesses against oneself.
Yep.
And also there's a takings clause.
Or what they do is they simply torture you and put you in that house until you go ahead and plead guilty.
Then we have a Sixth Amendment about speedy trial, except these guys, 40 years after the alleged fact, were put on trial 40 years later. The whole thing is corrupt.
Or me being thrown in jail and essentially being falling apart because my grandson refused to lie against me. I mean, we have all sorts of lies going ahead, and none of them are true, are they? None of this shit is true, is it?
It's so corrupt, it's beyond belief. And that's what it says. There's no trust. The system has got to collapse. Well, let me tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
My wife and I want to buy a house in Maine.
Mm-hmm.
And we applied to a mortgage broker and everything else. The way the cookie crumbles right now is you have got to have essentially perfect credit with no collectibles before you can get a mortgage. It is killing the real estate market. They can't sell houses because the buyers can't qualify for mortgages. And Obama says housing is going to lead to recovery. Who is so dumb to believe that?
No, what they have a whole bunch of houses here. They've thrown people out. These houses are being squatted on. The banksters don't even own the mortgage because they didn't want to go ahead and pay, they didn't want to go ahead and pay what they were supposed to pay in order to go ahead and change it. Essentially, all it is, all this housing is, and all the rest of this shit is just a ripoff.
Well, I'm telling you, people who want to buy houses cannot get the mortgages. Not everyone, of course, but they've made it so difficult to get mortgages nowadays. So that's one of the reasons these houses are going to sell, be on the market forever.
Well, the housing, everything you got, really, they figure out, really, if you count how much they actually have done, they have really about 22 to 25% unemployment, higher in some places, lower in others. You know what I mean?
What's 25%?
The unemployment rate, the real one. The real one.
That's another corrupt deal. If you're, after you've been unemployed for a year or so, you're no longer unemployed. The real unemployment in this country is probably 25 to 40%.
They're saying 22 to 25. I mean, higher in some places. Among niggers, last week they were whining like crazy that thanks to the state. Because what ends up happening is that because there's nobody able to essentially pay for these things, and the banks don't want to go ahead because they have the local people in control, people are no longer able to pay property taxes because they're so far underwater. They're so far underwater, and what, you know, I mean, Harold Covington was saying is that Zog is scared shitless. That essentially you have all, you know, right now you have niggers rioting in Milwaukee, flash mobs and all this sort of thing. At this, this is a big thing that everybody's bitching about. The latest meme during the last month or so is called Black Run America. They're all whining about how the niggers cannot run America very good, and the answer is no, they can't. But
Yahweh God Almighty never designed them to run anything.
No. All Yahweh designed them to do was run around in Africa and jump and, you know, pick bananas here and then kill and eat all the weaker niggers. That's all Yahweh designed them to do, is just go ahead and kill and eat weaker niggers.
Look, this nation is cursed. I sent you an email where we're having a drought, major drought in Oklahoma, this financial thing, 30 SEALs in Afghanistan get stuffed out. We're at a spiral collapse in this society.
Oh yeah, well, what happened in Afghanistan, it was 30-some SEALs, but it was actually about closer to 40. It was the biggest death toll ever in Afghanistan on any one given day. Now, I think you sent an email about wondering how come Obongo's alleged killers got killed, and there are some people like Paul Craig Roberts who say that if you ask the locals, essentially, the government or something went ahead and shot down their own helicopter. They killed their own men. So what you may end up having is a bunch of people who have gone, quote, missing, and essentially now is the time to go ahead and kill them off here. So maybe the body count is going up quite a bit.
Absolutely. The Afghanistan army killed their own.
No. What happens is the people who actually seen what happened on May 1st claim that, you know, they admit that one helicopter crashed here, but no one supposedly got killed except Osama.
Right.
Well, now what they're claiming now is that these, you know, I mean, the actual witnesses are saying is that Zog went ahead and killed their own troops here or something like that, and it possibly wasn't Osama bin Laden. But then again, it might have. Nobody knows what the truth is. Nobody knows what the truth is anymore.
Well, someone knows, but they're not telling. Who knows? In any event, we know that bin Laden's been dead. When he died, it's up for grabs, but allegedly he's dead. These SEALs, you know, these are guys, they're tough. They don't bleed. They don't die. They don't mind killing other people. But when it comes their turn, then we ought to hear moaning and groaning.
Yeah, you hear all the moaning and groaning about how these wonderful young men were killed.
And they're on a rescue mission. I'm surprised they weren't on a humanitarian mission to save the lives of 5-year-old girls or some crap.
Well, some crap. But usually they kill 5-year-old girls with Predator drones or something nowadays.
They don't care.
They don't care. From what I gather, they were going ahead and getting, you know, some ranger unit was getting its ass scragged running around in Afghanistan. And essentially they got in a big bunch of trouble, so they called these SEALs to go ahead and rescue them. And essentially what these Taliban fighters did, and they're experienced fighters, they fight with each other when they don't have, you know, Zoglings to fight with or the Soviets to fight with. Essentially what they did is they took down that Chinook with an RPG-7. And a helicopter cannot stand up to an RPG-7.
I don't know a Chinook from a moose.
A Chinook is your big, big, big,
well,
heavy lifting helicopter.
I don't know an RP-7 from a
rocket propelled grenade. It's been around since the 60s. It was based on
about that stuff. stuff okay. Know is that those guys know about it, and they really don't take the damn plane down. And I guarantee you one thing, this is going to change the way they fight war over there. Look, this Afghanistan is a total, complete fraud. Betrayers, these other guys are traitor whores as far as I'm concerned. They know damn well that Afghanistan will never be won, but they want to increase their years of service to get their pension and their other perks and everything else. They are all traitors as far as I'm concerned.
Well, they're just zoglings. That's all they are.
Yeah.
That's all they are, is they're just little zoggling, you know, little stooges who essentially, you know, I've been taught that they're wonderful for going ahead and going to Afghanistan to invade their country. And like I was talking to somebody, why are we even in Afghanistan? There's neither oil nor Jews in Afghanistan, is there?
But there's heroin. The CIA wants to protect the heroin business. And they want to find out Jew war. It's so sick. Who's the current Secretary of Defense? That the Italian nigger from California? What the hell?
Leon Panetta. This old CIA ass clown named Gates went ahead and resigned. Went ahead and stepped down.
Group. Hey, maybe Panetta and those guys will be taken out someday too, and then that'll be the ultimate reward for their treason, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, you have things falling apart. Now, in the case of the House of Representatives, according to law, I think what they should have been, Bonner should have said, hey, look, folks, the House of Representatives, according to the Constitution, is the one that originates all spending bills.
That's right.
This is a spending bill. We don't need your freaking balanced budget amendment, because guess what?
The Republicans are as crooked as a Democrat.
Oh, they're whores.
Boehner's a complete fool. He should have nothing to do with the nigger. He should have, because with the country's going down the tubes, he should know it. And any time it goes down the tubes, now Obama's all the Republicans went along with it. But Obama will be right. The Republicans went along with it.
Well, they went along with it. Essentially, what Boehner should have said is that, guess what? The House of Representatives is the one who initiates all the spending bills.
That's true.
Not you. So look, nigger, we've gone ahead and served you a shit sandwich. Now it's up to you, and we don't really care if you fools in the Senate, we don't even care if you guys want to eat it. You either eat it or you don't. Do you know what I mean?
In the House, they wanted their salaries, their perks, their offices, and their paid vacations, and all that type of crap, too. Look, this is so crooked. You had the Republicans and Democrats both claiming victory, yet the people lost. And if the people didn't figure it out yet, the more debt you have, the more interest it is paid. And that's why the bankers want the damn thing. Their whole thing was paid off.
It was all paid off. It was all paid off.
Collapsed.
It was all paid off. They were whining about default. There was not going to be any default. The Social Security checks. There was enough money for Social Security checks.
Social Security. Look, I get a Social Security check. The hell with the damn Social Security. Bring the whole damn house of cards down. What are you going to sell our soul for a Social Security check?
Well, most people have sold their, for socialism and security.
I'm 68 years old. Bring the whole Social Security down with the mark of the Social Security number and everything else as far as I'm concerned. It's just a matter of time. Hey, hyperinflation is coming down the road. It's eating up all these government pensions anyway. Bring it on.
Oh, it is eating up all these government pensions. It's eating up everything. You see, Standard & Poor's, if you go ahead and read the 8-page document, and I did, essentially they said that, there was no real there was no real spending cut. All they did was, instead of spending as more money than what they intend to spend, they spent less money than what they got to spend. They're actually spending more money, but they're calling it a spending cut. No.
Martin, we know it's corrupt as hell. I can't do anything about it. You know what I mean? So.
No, none of us really can. I mean, that's what I went ahead and was trying to tell this news guy over on Nimbusters. What happens is during the last 2 weeks, they've gone ahead and interviewed old Brian Rio, and Brian Rio doesn't want to go ahead and show up. Oh, yeah, they had Brian Rio, and essentially he was lying and lying and lying. I was listening to it, and essentially I ended up asking this guy because, well, I was trolling Eli James on Compact Number 1 and sort of listening on Toshiba Number 1 and Toshiba Number 2. And I ended up going ahead and getting on. And this guy who, they call him News Guy, his name is Peter Goodman. I call him Peterless Goodman, so I called him a Jew. several times and asked him, excuse me, let's cut to the chase. Is Brian real white or not? And he couldn't answer me any more than Eli James could go ahead and answer me. He refused to go ahead and answer me. I said, look, you are the children, you are one of the children of lies, because essentially you want to go ahead and believe lies. You want to believe whatever lies Brian Rio tells you. And last night, for example, he was claiming that Buck McHugh had financed my talk show page and then financed my, you know, Space Mirror page and did this and did that. And I said, look, you idiot, are you having to pay anything for talk show? And he said, well, no. He said, so why do you think that Buck McHugh is financing my internet activities? Buck McHugh has not given me a single penny, and I've not asked for a single penny, you know, for him ever. And, you know, pretty well what I found out is that Buck and John Britton, they sort of went behind my back because they knew I'd be, you know, I'd tell them that they were fools to do it. But they tried to make peace with Brian Rio, and old Buck went ahead and took down this picture of Brian Rio looking like a faggot, you know, on Skype assholes. And then once it got taken down, Brian Rio immediately put back all his stuff and added a whole bunch of stuff. And essentially Buck was flying like a pussy because essentially Brian Rio and Eli James broke their agreement. And Eli James said, well, I'm not responsible for Brian Rio. And I found out this about a week or so ago, and Buck was whining that Brian Rio and Eli James had broken their agreement with him and John Britton. And I said, what?
Eli James broke what agreement with whom?
Well, what happens is that essentially if Buck and John Britton would go ahead and take down anything that they said about Brian Rio, Essentially, Brian Rio would take down all the stuff he ended up saying about Buck. And what happens is that John Britton didn't have anything on, you know, Brian Rio, because way back in December, when Brian Rio was trying to get him, you know, sending him a whole bunch of emails, I said, look, John, whatever you do, do not ever respond to Brian Rio from your, you know, from your email. Do not respond to him in any way. And what I did is I logged on my forum when I was on the Canadian server and says, you know, it's John Britton, and says, I don't want no contact with you, Brian Rio. And Brian Rio just flipped out and he called the FBI, you know, on us here. So anyway, Eli James and Brian Rio came up with an agreement that Buck, and I don't know how John Britton ended up getting involved, because John Britton don't have a web page, John Britton don't have a forum, John Britton don't have anything. And what happens, he's not been, you know, he does not get on my forum. You know, I got it up a month ago. And he essentially doesn't have anything on Brian Rio, but essentially he went along with this deal with Buck, even though he said that, well, I don't think Brian Rio is going to keep it. And they sort of went behind my back. They didn't tell me anything about it. And last week, Buck was flying like a wolf about how Brian Rio and Eli James went ahead and screwed him. And I said, What? I mean, Yahweh tells you for good reason not to have anything to do with Jews and Mamzers, and you go ahead and you make an agreement with Jews and Mamzers, and then they screw you. Why are you so surprised that that shit happened? You know what I mean? Why are you surprised that that shit happened? And the answer is, there's no reason for you folks to be surprised about that shit happening. None whatsoever. So, in any case, I've been talking to you for about a half hour. Do you have that thing on TalkShoe? You know, do you have that thing on TalkShoe?
Email you sent me, yeah.
Okay. Why don't we take a, you know, is there anything more you want to discuss, or do you want to take a 10-minute break, or what?
I'm just thinking we should wait to see what happens in the stock market tomorrow. I predict the stock market will go down, gold will go up. I'm not sure about silver, but the bond market will definitely go down, plunge down. Got to, baby. We're gonna see all kinds of stuff take place tomorrow. It's gonna be interesting.
Well, what happens is that during this last week, essentially all the gains from the past entire year have been obliterated by a bunch of $500 per day declines. Right? It went from what, 1,200 something? Down to 1,100 something. It went down by over 1,000 points.
Martin, I don't have any stocks. I don't know what the hell did. I don't
have any stocks either. But anyway, it went ahead and plunged to where essentially every gain that's been made during the past year since January 1st or sometime in 2010, during this last week, Friday, it went down to a lowest point during the entire year of 2011. Every single gain has been wiped out. And Friday, Standard & Poor's went ahead and dropped that here, and they're whining about how it's going to cost $2 trillion. And Standard & Poor's have told you is that, hey, in 3 months to 6 months, if you people do not get your act together and actually have a spending cut or tax increase, essentially we're going to go ahead and downgrade the sovereign debt of the United States down by another couple ratings. Actually, they went down not by one rating. They went down by two. They could have gone triple A, small A. They went past that to just triple A. You know what I mean? They could go ahead and go down.
Look, in 6 months from now, we could have an economic collapse. In fact, this one guy, Bob Chapman, he was saying he thinks it'll be a bank holiday come September. I don't know. We'll find out. What happened? Hey. I can't wait for the whole system to come back because it's so corrupt.
Okay.
Martin, I'm getting tired. Let me take off. But I basically said I won't want to say. It'll be interesting to see what happens next tomorrow.
Well, anyway, I wanted to go ahead and tell you what's going on. I mean, I got my form up, but now it's back down. Essentially, oh, by the way, what about Brett? You know, what about this Norwegian character who went ahead and shot all these here little baby traitors in these muds?
He's a true Norwegian patriot.
Okay, well, that's, you know, I don't know if he's a, well, I sort of think that a lot of people do think of him as a patriot. Folks, I'm not going to go ahead and whine that he went ahead and shot these, you know, shot these yuppie scumlets, and he shot these little Muslim niggers, you know, essentially was trying to go ahead. I mean, I wish it would happen more often in this country. Of course, today, from what I gather, eight niggers are related to each other went ahead and shot each other around Akron, Ohio today before the pigs went ahead and shot this nigger.
Martin, anyone who's ever lived with niggers know by nature they're violent.
Well, what happens is that some of these found out the hard way. These niggers chimped out on their own. And they...
When I was in jail, these guys would take their shirts off for bullet wounds and knife things and everything else. They, by nature, are violent. That's what they...
Well, that's what they're made for. That's what they're made for. They're made to be jungle creatures. And essentially, they're literally beasts of the field. They're animals. And essentially, what it boils down to is that they, you know, you have to be a tough nigger in order, you know, in a state of nature, you have to be a tough nigger because all, you know, all the weak and young and old niggers get killed and eaten. And then the nigger buck, which goes ahead and goes to his prime, he goes ahead and gets plenty of, well, nigger pussy, and he impregnates as much as he can. And then sooner or later, he ends up going ahead and dying. And during a natural state of affairs, Africa was not full of niggers because they were violent creatures here.
In the South, it's unusual to see a colored man over 60. You just don't tend to see them. I'm sure there are, of course.
Well, what they do is that most of them have all the bad genes of both of being nigger and an Indian and a Uyghur, and it's all rolled into. I mean, nigger males got twice the blood high blood pressure of white men, and part of it's diet, but most of it is just simply nigger genes. They're not meant. A nigger is not meant to go ahead and live beyond the age of 30 or 40.
Probably.
You know what I mean?
I mean, they eat pork like you wouldn't believe. That's their business, of course. But the other thing is, like, for AIDS, I think they're just genetically more susceptible to AIDS.
Well, that's proven here. I mean, essentially, they found out from the 80s you had these blonde, blue-eyed faggots here who, and their nigger and, you know, beaner butt boys were dying of AIDS, and they weren't dying of AIDS. They found out that Scandinavians have a 16% immunity to the retrovirus. It took, you know, and
let me take off.
Okay, I'll talk to you later, Ross. Hail victory.
I'll see you.
All right, bye-bye. If you're on the air, that bribery says, come, Tom. Best big way they stays up, you dum-dum. Sword that censors the internet all day. Even Pobardi can't change the censoring ways. Sword Manzer, Pastor Lynch says after you. Sword Manzer, if he shoots your ass or through. Sword Manzer, them Nimbusters after you. Sword Manzer, if they try to eat you, you're through. Them Wiggy Nazis are really crazy clowns. When will they learn they can't blow Manzer faggots down? Sword Manzer censors the internet all day. Even Nimbus can't take faggot ways. Sword Manzer, Pastor Lynn says after you. The Sword Manzer Show! If he shoots your ass, you're through. Do-do-do. Sword Manzer, Pastor Lynn says after you. Sword Manzer, if he sues your ass, you're through. Sword Manzer, them Nimbusters after you. Sword Manzer, if they challenge your ass, you're through. Do-do-do.
Gozer Dickey Merchant, to see what I can find, I find a bunch of goodies from 2005. I see all those items from the good old days. His butt fuck is in my hands and his leather's all gay. Wanna be a sword manager in the SS. Wanna be a sword faggot in the SS. Wanna be a sword manager in the SS. Sword manager, sword faggot in the SS. You're the gay piper aid, Dickie Rose with pride, sucking off niggers in the desert countryside. Every red nigger bastard that wanted to pay, we will suck them off day after day. Wanna be a sword manager in the SF? Wanna be a sword faggot in the SF? Wanna be a sword manager in the SF? Sword manager, sword faggot in the SF! Today I grin when I see his bull whip. My sphincter's not excessive. I know it's surely drips. Get that good on butt. A gleam in my eyes. Call me Brian Real. I tell nothing but lies. I'll be a sword manager in the SF. I'll be a sword faggot in the SF. I'll be a sword manager in the SF. Sword manager, sword faggot in the SF. Wanna be a sword manager in the SF. Wanna be a sword faggot in the SF. Wanna be a sword manager in the SF. Sword manager, sword faggot in the SF.
Back here. I'm going to go ahead and shut this thing off, and then I'm going to go ahead and talk using the Pastor Linson now that everyone's unmuted here. So hold on, folks. Okay. Can you folks hear me okay now? Nice and clear. Very good. Now, what I'm going to do, I'm going to go ahead and start the show. And what I'm going to also do, in order to avoid an echo, is I am going to take down to 9 out of 100 the sound here, okay? Okay, I need to have that one here. Thanks, Northwest. That's the show, that's the one which had the picture of the monkey pissing here. All right, folks. Greetings, ogling, wigger, and manzer-ass clowns across the fruited and nutted Zog plain in the open air, coast-to-coast nut house that we call Zog Babylon. Now, if you are a, Zogling, wigger, and manzer-ass clown, chances are you will not hear this live, because you have not been invited to this episode, number 82, of the Movement Turd, but this is a secret turd. And who I'm really speaking to is the lost and the found sheep of the house of Jacob Israel. You chosen seed of Israel's race, you who did hear the call. Now this is Movement Turd number 82, and today is the 7th of April of 2011, and right August, I'm sorry, August 7th of 2011, I've been corrected about that. And folks, it's just pretty well, this show is based upon the antics of what this one guy over at Apricity said, called the White Power Ranger, White Power Rangers, or what Frank Aware would call the White Powder Rangers. And folks, there's always stupid crap going on, you know, around in the bowel movement. Now, last night, I got an email from the guy at Crisis Host, and the guy at Crisis Host said the main problem is that for whatever reason, the hard drive on the server was being told that it was ailing, it was about to go down. And folks, I had not been able to access using my regular computer, had been able to access White Nationalist. I was able to go ahead and access the, I was able to access it using a proxy server, of course, though. And the official story, the second thing was that Brian Rail made a bogus DMCA complaint. He was whining that this picture of this little shit-eating Puerto Rican, that I thought was a Puerto Rican, you know, it was PR, titled PRROTC, when I thought it was a little Puerto Rican. This was before I knew his real name. This was sometime way back when. It used to be on his Talk Show page. And he claims that that's a copyright, although he doesn't directly claim it's a copyright. And he whined like a pussy, claiming that Eli James and Bill Fink and Dan Johns would be suing me for copyright violations. Well, I don't think Eli James is going to be suing me for anything. In fact, I'm going to be suing him because he's gone ahead. I have him on file telling about how he had taken down three of my web pages. Bill Fink is far more cagey, but he could be going back to prison anytime, you know, till May 2012 and violating someone's right to go ahead and speak on web page. That would probably be interesting to his parole officer. Now, as far as Dan Johns, I doubt that a pussy like Dan Johns, even though he's a serial polygamist and an amateur, I doubt he's going to go ahead and sue me for anything. Because, well, in fact, Brian Rio did me a favor and Dan Johns a disfavor, because now he's claimed that Dan Johns is in his conspiracy to go ahead and take down my web pages. So now I get to go ahead and sue Dan Johns because Brian Rio has gone ahead and mentioned his name as a co-conspirator. Now, I don't think that Dan Johns might actually do that, but who knows? Maybe he is on it. But it doesn't really matter, because what I did, it was just one little freaking picture. So I deleted, I went ahead and using my proxy server, I went ahead and deleted the offending thing. And then I called up a friend of mine, Northwest, and he found I said, could you go ahead and Google me up a picture of a monkey eating shit or a baboon eating shit here? Because that's what I'm going to go ahead and put up in, you know, in the place of the Brian Rio. I'm going to say is that, you know, shit, it looks more like Brian Rio than this picture of this Puerto Rican with an AR-15, which he has no business having. But what happens is Northwest found me a picture called Monkey PP or something like that. And, well, essentially, I went ahead and put that thing up there in place here and sent an answer back to Crisis Host and SoftLayer to the Copyright and Abuse Department saying, hey, look, folks, you know, just like I agreed, even though he doesn't own these copyrights, even though it's just harassment, what I do routinely is I take down anything he goes ahead and puts, you know, he goes ahead and claims. And as I look at it, I'm going to try to get him an extra 1 or 2 years in prison for filing a bogus, perjurious statement. And just going to go ahead and go to, you know, show his evil. But I'm not going to go ahead and file the counter notice until I've gone ahead, because he can't go ahead and sue me. He's got to wait for me to sue him. So I'm not going to file the counter notice until I file the lawsuit. And Friday, I've gotten probably about a third of the lawsuit written. I've sort of had a brain thing to where, essentially, I am not going to be bitching too much about the damages. You know, I don't know. I mean, my web page went down from quite a few being listened to in October to hardly anybody listening to it now. But it doesn't really matter, because Christian Identity has never been an effort to proselytize. It never has been. Okay? So, you know, Northwest went ahead and, you know, the name of the picture is Funny Stupid Monkey Pee. And it was a picture of a little baby orangutan female or something like that. And essentially it had its little pussy up in the air and its head on the ground, and it was peeing. It was peeing in an arc, and the little monkey was going ahead and drinking the pee, you know, at the end of the arc, your gravity, you know, falling here. And it was a hilarious picture that Northwest gave me here. I mean, it's probably better and less, you know, nasty than a baboon eating the shit, but still looked pretty nasty. And I said, well, look, it does pretty well look more like Brian Rio than that former, you know, picture of a Puerto Rican in a in a headscarf or whatever, shielding his face. It looks more like Brian Rio on his side of the family. The problem of it is that if I want to go ahead and do Eli James and Finkelschini, it's going to have to be proboscis monkeys. You know those monkeys with noses that look like Jew noses or dicks or something like that. I'll probably have to go ahead and have Northwest fly, you know, Google me up a proboscis monkey and shit or something like that for Eli James and William Fink here. Brian Rio is just a little mamzer monkey, although he might have a bit of Jew in him. But last week, I went ahead and found out old Buckafur was whining like a pussy to me. Buck. And during the last 2 weeks over on News Mamzer's show, although I call him, his name is Peter Goodman. I think he's a Jew. And he has Brian Rio, and he hunts up Brian Rio. Then Brian Rio tells a whole bunch of lies. And the interesting one that I was being tasked with was, Book goes ahead and pays for your talk show account here, and then he paid for the talk show, the TeamSpeak thing, he paid for the space mirror, he paid for all this sort of thing. And I said, look, you effing idiot, how much do you pay for your talk show program? He said, nothing. I said, so why do you think that Buck, Buck McHugh is paying me anything for the talk show account? And then I went on and said, Buck has never given me a nickel. And more to the point, I've never asked Buck for a nickel. But I found out last week that Buck and Pastor John Britton had sort of cut a deal with Eli James and with Brian Reel. And the deal was is that Buck would take off this picture of him, his Facebook picture, all done up as Bookback Mamzer, over on Skype Assholes, anywhere else that they had pictures of Buck McHugh. And Buck went along with it. Buck went along with it, and John Britton said, well, I sort of told that Brian Rio, he's a lying piece of shit. He ain't going to keep his word here, but, I went along with it, too. And I said, you didn't tell me, did you? Well, we knew what you said. I said, no, I wasn't going to say a damn thing. I just simply told you is that, there's no sense. I mean, Yahweh tells you to not make any deals with Canaanites or Mamzers or Jews or anything because they're evil. They don't keep their word. You're told not to do it, but I guess you guys had to find out for yourself. I mean, I wasn't going to scream at you. I don't get to tell you what to do. I don't get to tell Buck what to do. But essentially, this guy, one of Buck's Skype friends here, had gone ahead and put it up, and the guy told me is that Brian Real whined and whined and whined and took it down. And the truth of the matter is that Buck had it taken down. And what happened is it came on down. And once that picture that Brian Rio wanted taken down was taken down, Brian Rio immediately put back every single thing he had taken down about Buck McHugh, and then he went ahead and doubled all the shit. He had about 50 web pages put up. Now, John Britton didn't have really anything really to lose on it because ever since December when Brian Rio was trying to get in contact with him, I said, whatever you do, do not answer, do not respond to this little monkey, because he will use whatever you say against you. He is stalking you. He's trying to find out your actual internet service provider so he can go ahead and shut you down. Do not, whatever you do, respond to this little bastard ever directly. And then when I had my forum on the iWeb thing here, I went ahead and logged on to Pastor John Britton's account as Six Killer. And I said, I don't want no contact with you, Brian Rio, Sword Mamzer. And Brown really had a shit fit, and he went ahead and went bitching to the FBI about me and Pastor John Britton. I mean, he has a sort of thing. He has a sort of thing with Victor Switzer and with John Britton, even though he's never met or seen a picture of, you know, Pastor John Britton. Of course, it was 5 years before Pastor John Britton ever sent me a picture of himself. You know, he's not a bad-looking man here. He got full head of blonde hair. He got blue eyes. I mean, he sort of looks like Bo Svenson's younger brother. You know, a lot fitter, you know, than Bo Svenson. And, hey, I mean, he's legendary. And there was all this bitching about how, what a violent character he is. And I told Russ, I'll go ahead and send him a copy of what the Lake County, Ohio Sheriff's Department's been saying about him. But, you know, folks, I found out last week, because Buck was whining, you know, that Brian Reno and Eli James didn't keep the deal. Well, Eli James tried to get out by saying, well, it was my idea to go ahead and keep this agreement here, you know, Brian Reno and me don't no longer get along. Well, and that's somewhat true. I mean, it was back around February or March that essentially Eli James was trying to have me make peace with them, and I said, hey, I don't talk to Jews. I don't talk to Sephardic Jews from Chicago. I don't talk to dirty Jews that take down my webpage, who I got admitted that took down 3 of my webpages on the 7th of January of this year. I do not make deals with Jews. I mean, you tell them is that I find Eli James to be far more dangerous than William think. Because Eli James is a clever, nicer Jew than that sociopathic, evil kite criminal, William Fink. That's why he's far more dangerous. He has gone ahead and pulled the wool over people's eyes for 20, 25 years. And essentially, things are going ahead to where, essentially me asking, why does Eli James look like a Chicago Sephardic Jew? Now, whitenationalist.org is down, and it's down, I'm hoping, because of a hard drive failure. And, folks, Crisis Host, I think, is run essentially as a First Amendment operation, pretty well on a prayer. $55 a year is not a whole awful lot. And so, from what I gather, it is indeed down. Last night when I went ahead and sent the picture of the monkey pissing into its mouth, you know, pissing into its own mouth, you know, and replacing that, you know, DMCA thing here, it was up if I used a proxy browser, but now it's down. Okay? Well, the thing about it is that's why Eli James, Frank Wager says he's a nice guy. That's why he's dangerous. That's why he is dangerous. There are some admirable portions about Eli James here. Now, I went ahead and told this news guy, or Peterless Goodmanser, as I call him, because I think he's a Jew. I chewed on his ass. I didn't show him very much respect. And I don't have any respect for Jews. I don't have any respect for liars. I don't have any respect for Mamsers. And yeah, I pretty well treated him with some offhand contempt, which is, generally why Buck doesn't want to have me on his little Skype list here, because, you know, pretty well about every single one of these retards, I have pretty well put in their place, you know, in the overall order of things. But Eli James is far more dangerous because there is some admirable things about Eli James. You know, for my Gary is an officer in Vietnam, although, you know, it's not because of that, but Eli James does have some force of character. He's not altogether a coward, but I find any Jew dangerous. And the fact that Eli James is a smarter, more cunning, Sephardic Jew from Esau who got a lot of wigger in him. I mean, the fact that he is a smarter Jew makes him far more dangerous than just simply a rather ignorant Jew, sociopathic criminal like Rabbi, you know, Bill Finkelstein. Someone like Finkelsheeny here, essentially, the SS would not have had to take care of him because he'd been stupid enough to hang around a village in Estonia or Latvia or Lithuania or the Ukraine. Essentially, someone like old Finkelsheeny would just be a dead kike. that the German, you know, that the German, you know, police was said, okay, it looks like we have a barn full of dead Jews. What do we do with them? He says, shoot, you know, we ought to, we say we'd have gone ahead and, you know, just buried them here, and that we would, you know, I mean, we're going to take the blame for it here as an Einsatzgruppen group in here. But essentially what happens is that you just simply had the locals take care of the kikes their own little way, the ones who were stupid enough to stay behind. That's why there was no 6 million. Most of them knew in what regard they were. That's why you've, you know, no matter how many programs, you've always had them escape. They're like freaking cockroaches, Jews are. So, I don't make peace with Jews. I don't make peace with regime criminals. I don't make peace with Uyghurs. Don't make peace with these bastards at all, and I have no intention of doing so. None. Okay? So, yeah, well, thanks, INTJ. What's the news with the lawsuit? Well, the news with the lawsuit is that what it boils down to is I'm going to file it as a church. Friday, I went ahead and called up, and I found out that contrary to what it was a couple months ago, they have a new plan here. If you don't pay cash to file the lawsuit, you're supposed to file it in Kansas City, even though you'll be assigned to a, you know, to a court in Springfield, Missouri, 80 miles east as opposed to 175 miles north of me. And folks, Grand Avenue is around such wonderful places as Truth Avenue, and Old U.S. 71, Niggertown Central. I don't want to go ahead and drive better than, you know, twice as far to go to Niggertown. You know what I mean? But what I will do is I will go ahead and file it, and it will be, you know, it will be on the Church of Jesus Christ Christian Erring Nations, Missouri. It will be on that account. You know what I mean? The account of Pastor Mark as an officer of this church incorporation. Now, I do have my church incorporated in the state of Missouri, but it's not a 501c3. I do not accept donations, so therefore I don't need any tax exemption. Essentially, I don't really run, if someone were to go ahead and accept donations, I might, but essentially this is not going to be a 501c3 bail priest operation. If anybody does go ahead and decide to send money for teaching or scripture or books or anything like that, if I ever do decide to go ahead and run a outreach program to where, you know, have it pay for itself, essentially it's not going to be a tax deductible thing here, because I have a lot of things politically to say about what is going on in this country and about how the nigger is not going to save us, Jews are not going to save us, nothing's going to save us. Nothing is going to save us from the Great Tribulation. Just like the children of Israel, who when they lived in Goshen, in slavery in Egypt, they had to undergo some of the plagues of Egypt. I think four of them. They had to undergo some of the plagues. And folks, same way with you, the chosen seed of Israel's race here. There is no way that when things fall apart like they are going to fall apart, and pretty well soon, when this Great Tribulation occurs, you can go ahead and mitigate it, and the best way to mitigate it is to, as much as you can, disassociate yourself with Zog Babylon. Certainly disassociate yourself with the ass clownery which is going on in this wonderful bowel movement of ours here. Yeah, I've seen that. Eight niggers have scragged themselves in Akron here. It's just another nigger town Saturday night here, or something like that here, or Sunday or whatever. Oh, okay. Here, hold on. Let me go ahead and
in Akron. Well, just uh, it's just another nigger town Saturday night here, or something like that, or Sunday or whatever.
I'd kind of like to interject a comment, Pastor, if I may.
Oh, okay. Oh, here, hold on. Let me go ahead and go ahead, Northwest.
All right. So basically, Pastor's making a good point that one of the best ways to make this upcoming process easiest on yourself is not to be associated with Zion Babylon. And I'm not going to go up into any sermon-like speech or anything. But I'd like to point out one of the best ways to do that is not to owe a bank any money. Now, that's a very hard thing to do sometimes, but I'm in the position where my car's almost paid off, and that's not going to be the difference. Again, largely because I want to be associated with as few Jews as possible. If you don't owe them anything, and you order for them to come after you in a very serious fashion, I just thought I'd throw that out there as a piece of advice.
Oh, okay. Well, that's, you know, I was glad I went ahead and did that. Folks, I paid $3,000 for my house back in 1987, you know, tail end of 1987. So I had that paid off. I've never owned a new car. I've never made a car payment or anything like that. And so I have quite an advantage over most people. But folks, if you have one of these bogus mortgages or underwater or something like that, you might want to go ahead and walk away from it, or you might want to go ahead and get out of it. I think that most of the people who are listening, and a few of them I do know of, I think that most of them, I think Frank Wigger, he's a farmer. I think he pretty well owns his own farm. You know, I do know that a number of persons listening here, essentially they have, you know, they pretty well have a place to live in that they're not paying on. But folks, if you have any choice in the matter, do not go ahead and get into debt, even though, for all practical purposes, these debts are not going to amount to anything. Because they're going to be used as an excuse to go ahead and keep you in debt slavery. That's exactly what they're going to do. And Northwest, he wants to head to the Northwest, and he's going to have his car paid off with here, and, well, essentially, you know, for my guy, he's fairly young, and he doesn't really have anything holding him where he lives now. And, folks, I do support. If you're young, if you live in shitholes like Texas, California, whatever, I do sort of support the Northwest plan. Although, you know, to be smart, to be honest with you, it'd probably be best if you go to Kalispell, Montana, and you got to go ahead and say that you're following in Guru, claim it's Chuck Baldwin instead of April Gay or Corn Cob. And I don't know. I've been listening to what's going on with Harold Covington's thing here, and he had a sort of a big defection. I wouldn't say it's really a defection with Billy Roper. And I'm going to go ahead and take a short break. And we'll go ahead and come up about what's going on in the Great Northwest, okay? All right? Well, the thing about it is that I'm far... You know, I mean, I wish I had my grandchildren. I wish I had them living across the street where I could keep an eye on them. But, folks, it's just me, Roxy, and Poopy Dog. And as a result, oh, during the last, you know, I mean, me and Roxy only go to town about, well, on the old show, by town. I live in town, but we only go to town about once, maybe twice a week, and usually in the old show. I went up to Joplin because Roxy's faggot nephew was malingering here, you know, about how he was sick or something like that. So we went up there, and when we went up there, I went ahead and bought a Windows XP desktop that's internet ready,
It has XP. It has Internet Exploder. It has a few virus programs. And I bought it for, you know, it was a Pentium 1.2 gigabyte something or another from 2004. And I bought it for $70. So went ahead and took a few pictures of Juplin. And Juplin screwed up. It's really sort of weird seeing all these piles of rubble and all these trees here, which have some leaves on them now that grew out of the trunk. But, you know, all these dead and dying trees and all this rubble and bricks and stuff all over the place here. But the roads are cleared. And going ahead and seeing this sort of thing, me and Roxy have pretty well stayed home very much. And what we're doing is we're eating all the stuff we bought on sale, you know, anywhere from 6 to 8 months ago or to a week ago, whatever. And we buy stuff on sale and then we freeze it or I can it or whatever. And essentially, I'm still eating stuff that we bought anywhere from 8 months to a week ago. You know, so, yes, I have it far better and I have it far easier than 95% of the population. I don't have any mouths I have to feed. I have more than enough to eat. And bought an air conditioner for $70. And yes, I'm doing very well. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and tell about some of the follies that's going on in the bowel movement, because that's what this show is about. So I'm going to go ahead and take a short break. Hail Victory. Like a poster boy is gonna make you wind up dead. That's what this little beaner faggot, Brian Rio's daddy, said. You weren't your mama's only boy, but her gayest one, it seems. She sold her snatch for taco meat so you could live your dream. Brian was a beaner boy who liked to take it in the rear, and even broke fronts Billy Roper realized that it was clear. Dickie Barrett took it in spite of its mestizo skin. After he kicked that beaner out, some nigger did Dickie in. Even folks on skinheads say sword mamzer's fucking gay. They ought to keep him far away from any normal white folks. Eli was playing games, trying to bring that beaner in. He called in late one Halloween. A cyber shit storm soon began. Eli met his match, you know, in a hovel down in Granby Mo. And on the turd his screech was heard. Now everybody knows. Even both front skinheads say sword mamzer's fucking gay. They ought to keep Rio far away from any normal folks. Thank you. Now Brian ought to give it up. Go back to sucking nigger dick. He ought to know the jig is up. We're fed up with that beaner prick. Send that dirty beaner snitch. May end up being Leroy's prison, bitch. And dying in a lonely cell of AIDS before it burns in hell. Even both front skinheads say Brian Rio's fucking gay. They ought to keep it far away from any normal white folks. Even both front skinheads say Sword Manther's fucking gay. But Dickie Barrett let him slip away out of blindness, I suppose. Okay, folks, we're back on the Moomin Turd. This will be section number 3. I went ahead and talked to old Russ Walker. He got back from Maine, and he called about 7:30, and that's why I wasn't really talking too much on the Moomin Turd. Now, one guy showed up, and he was going to record. He was going to go ahead and record this thing. Well, the answer is that it's not being recorded, and there's a reason for that. Your TalkStew has only about a third the dynamic range of an MP3 recorder. The MP3 recorder has 3 times the dynamic range and far better sound characteristics than TalkStew does. Second of all, this is a secret place here. And if they don't go ahead and talk to you, even if Brian Rio wants to go ahead and talk to people about it, since there's not any actual recording being put on TalkShoe, they really don't have any reason to go ahead and complain if I go ahead and put it elsewhere. Now, what I'm going to do, even if White Nationalist stays down for a while, is that Colm has gone ahead and put together a page with the Moomin Turd. With the Moomin Turd all in one place, and I told him not to tell where it was, but to go ahead and tell where the individual episodes are at. And what I'll do is I'll go ahead and get together in 16 kilobytes per second the Moomin Turd, and it's not going to be 32 kilobytes per second. But what I'll do is I'll go ahead and send it to him, and he'll go ahead and put up a link, and I'm going to try to get on the Library of Congress. I already got a Library of Congress account. And I'll figure out how to go ahead and load that up here. And I do think that whitenationalist.org will be up because, essentially, I went ahead and obeyed the DMCA complaint. I went ahead and took down the picture that Brian Rio claims to have a copyright to and put up a picture of a little monkey pissing into its own mouth. Yeah, which looks a lot more like Brian Rio anyway. In any case, I do wonder whether or not whitenationalist.org was under attack, because a lot of the times I was not able to access it on my computer. And I would tell, Northwest, I'd tell a number of people about that. Okay. So anyway, someone said that Victor Switzer is back in jail. I don't think he is. Details will be posted on Nimbusters. I'll go ahead and, Frank Winger says details will be posted on Nimbusters. Maybe. And Poopy Dog says, oh yeah, I'll believe it when I read it, Nimbusters for sure, Frank Winger. Okay. Well, I don't mind my laughs here. It's not as crazy as some of the nuts I see at the Nut House, are here, like my Bishop, formerly of Fulton and now St. Joseph. But getting on with it, What has gone on is that throughout the Zogland, nobody seems to be able to live in peace with one another. They don't seem to be able to go ahead and get along. Now, for the past month or so, ever since I found out the name of Commandor McFag, a.k.a. Steve Elder, he has been whining like a pussy about how Covington needs to go ahead and ban me from his Facebook, you know, picture. And it went on and on, along with the Tantric Flyer and the other idiots. And what Harold Covington went ahead and said was, guys, if you don't like what Linstead is saying, just fucking ignore him. No, I'm not going to create new moderators because that's where all the problems started with Stormfront and VNNF and White News Now. The internet has always been a loony bin since the days of Usenet, and the price of using it has always been you have to shout over the noise to make yourself understood. This solution is not for some authority figure to make the kiddies play nice. The solution is for the kiddies to grow up. And essentially old, you know, number of people like this here goofy Pennsylvania faggot, oh, Richard Giesecke, or what I call Dick Dick. And, you know, Steve Elder is still whining like a pussy because Harold Covington isn't going to censor people on the Facebook page. Or at least, maybe he won't here. The problem of it is that today, Billy Roper, who is the most level-headed, and I think the best of the peer sites, I actually met Billy Roper. Billy Roper has treated me fairly. There are a lot of Christian identity people like Mo Gullett and even Pastor John Britton who do not like Billy Roper. And I don't know what the hell their problem is with Billy Roper. But, you know, Christian identity is not monolithic at all. In fact, Christian identity really isn't really genuine most of the times at all. You have Mamzers and Jews like Eli James, and you have idiots like Steve Elder claim to be Christian identity. He's not. But Billy Roper claimed that Harold Covington had impersonated him or something like that, and he said he wasn't going to be on Weird Harold's forum no more. And then Harold Covington said, well, we're going to have a Facebook attack or something like that, so maybe Covington's getting paranoid about it. But what I've tried to go ahead and explain to Harold Covington is that what you have is that you have what you can control and what you cannot control. Way back in, you know, one of the things that Harold Covington gets a hard time about was great moments in the history of the bowel movement or a brief look at white nationalist history or something like that. And episode number 8 was where white nationalism was now. And he pointed out is that you have these forums, Stormfront being the biggest, run by Donald Duck and you know, and Don Black, David Duck and Donald Black. Stormfront run by them. And you have VNN, and you have a few other ones. And what these people do is they use it to go ahead and get money, or they use it to get power, or something like that. But what they do is they appoint moderators, and essentially they act like a bunch of tyrants. They engage in flame wars, and they ban people, and they censor people, and they do whatever the hell they want to. And Harold Covington was saying is that it shows anybody who looks is that white nationalism is screwed up. How screwed up it would be if we actually, you know, if white nationalists actually came to power. And folks, there is no getting around with most of these people. So Harold Covington's problem was. Oh, Harold Covington, well, oh, I'm going to talk about Mouthy Patricia. Mouthy Patricia was hilarious. I'm going to go ahead and cover Covington. I ramble. Frank Wigger, thinks she's hot. Frank Wigger reminded me to talk about Mouthy Patricia and how Mouthy Patricia has gone into heat as of last week. She got banned over at Eli's. But let me go ahead and get back to Covington. Covington said the reason that he does not want to go ahead and be seen as censoring me just because Steve Elder McFaggis whined like a pussy is that he himself is censored away on Sperm Front. He himself is censored away on the NNF here. In fact, Carol Covington is number one on Alex Linder's official shit list. You go ahead, you post anything with Harold Covington on it. Chances are you will get your ass banned. And in any case, whatever you post there will be scrubbed away forthwith. Guess who's number two on the Gut Sick Weedle Weasel G-Ass Cancer shit list? Yep, yours truly, and they can't even spell my name right. They're sort of like Jews in that way. And then three is old cunt hair walls. Now, the number two man, me, can go ahead and get along with Harold Covington. I mean, I've told Harold Covington that I do not agree, at least for myself, with his Northwest thing, because Christian Identity does believe in a great tribulation. We're not worried about the fate of the white race. The only way that the white race will be saved is by the Manthers and the Whiggers and the Jews exterminating each other in the Great Tribulation. We're not worried about the fate of the white race, because we know that some of the servant nation will be saved. In fact, a dual seed line Christian Identity believer, sort of like Russ, he was, you know, even though he's on Social Security, he was hoping that Social Security would collapse, bring aboard the Great Tribulation. And that is pretty well the sign of a true Christian Identity believer, because he wants Yahweh's kingdom to come soon. He wants all the Jews and the Mamzers and the Whiggers to die in this Great Tribulation. Now, it's written in the book of Revelation that the Lamb has the saints who have been martyred, whose blood is still on their white robes, saying, "How long, Eternal, will you keep us from being avenged?" I think it's in Revelations chapter 6 somewhere, but you know, I'm not going to go ahead and look offhand. But you have people like Obagender Bender and Brian Real and Liar Bill DeCluse, and essentially they're worried about the fate of regime criminals and their spawn and faggots and the rest, and you know, their niglet nieces and their relatives, the Jews. They're worried. And essentially whine is how Christian Identity is being, you know, is being trampled by people like me. Well, the problem of it is just like with the Libertarian Party, when they think, when they used to think of the Missouri Libertarian Party, they used to think of me. And when people, average people, think of dual seed line Christian Identity, they think of this half-bearded maniac in southwest Missouri talking a message of death, doom, and destruction and the apocalypse. Which is fine here. I mean, I have been upfront with Harold Covington about why I, and no true Christian Identity believer, does altogether believe in his Northwest plan. Now, as far as moving up to the Northwest, in some cases, not a bad idea. Not a bad idea. But you have a bunch of people, and I think, you know, I'm sort of worried that Covington will go ahead and overreact and worry about goo-boo and goat dancing on Facebook. And the fact of the matter is that a Facebook page should have people like me going out with the ass clowns, like Steve Elder and Richard Gieske and the tantric flyer Claudia, who essentially are just clowns seeking to pretend or play or role play being for true believers or Christian Identity among ass clowns who don't know any better or don't know any different here. If you have someone like Steve Elder or McFag or something like that, you give him a position of power, this critter will abuse it. He tried to have a position of power over Sperm Front, and of all the people he tried to ban was Clint Downey. You have Liar Bill DeCluse whining like a pussy. He's not going to be on Sperm Front anymore because you had some guy from Denmark essentially kick out somebody who was trying to go ahead and out somebody out contrary to the rules of Stoneflat, and you had Clint or Meerkat and, you know, Liar Bill whining that some, quote, atheist was getting on there and banned somebody for breaking Stormfront rules about outing people. It was Richard the Lionheart. He just whined like a pissy about it. Now, over on Pisser's Pussy Parlor, since they do not like Clint or Meerkat, they've gone ahead and demodded Liar Bill the Clueless Mumpsnuts. What is my point? My point is that this is a dysfunctional bowel movement. It is a clown. It is fools. Idiots. Guest number 9, Patricia Aiken. She got married twice last week. She went to Vegas, and what happened in Vegas didn't stay in Vegas. She told Eli James is that, according to Chris Sandini's belief, having sex is the same as being married. So she found a blonde Aryan guy with blonde hair and green eyes, and so she married him. But he wasn't very good in bed, so she had a Chris Sandini divorce, and she found another guy, another white guy, and she married him. And I don't know if he was any better, but she was telling Pure Silly that she ought to go ahead and go down to Vegas and get her some, too. Get married, too. So Eli James was just looking in shock to where Maui, I mean, you slut. You slut. You're not supposed to get married and divorced and married again, you know, in 2 days here. You know what I mean? And she was quoting Eli James and telling her that it was acceptable for her to get married 3 or 4 times a day. Didn't say anything about, you know, $25 a drink. And I was trolling you liars, but sometimes I had to go ahead and stop trolling because Maui Patricia was doing far better than I could. Maui Patricia, she's a sort of hybrid nigger. With cork brown or cork black eyes. She's a hybrid nigger mamzerus. And what happens is that I think that old Maui Patricia decided that it was better to have 2 Aryan dicks in her bush than it was to have 666 Christian Telegonist, you know, Chicago Sephardic Jew boy hand jobs. By yourself. You know, 2 dicks in the bush, be 666 Chicago Sephardic Jew hand jobs. You know what I mean? Oh, Maui Patricia was in heat. And Pure Silly, you know, was being so, you ought to go down and go ahead and get married and remarried like me. What happens is that girl went wild. She was going ahead and performing sort of like Dan Johns from Serial Polygamy, or like Masag wants to do, but for the girlies. So, well, Pure Silly is a crazy CI bitch. You know, her name is Pure Lily. She used to be Tiger Lily. And what she did is she ratted out old Clint Downey. She told all about Clint Downey not only going ahead and divorcing the Grand Dragon Badinsky and running off as a Klayleff with the Clud, you know, the so-called chaplain Mark Downey, but she also told the, you know, story about how old Clint was a sex mascot. She was one of 3 women who essentially ratted out Clint Downey. So I don't have any... You know, see, Pure Silly wants to be in charge of something. And John Britton was being given, you know, supposedly he was in her, quote, identity court, which, you know, I call it, you know, cunt court. And essentially it was about this story about Clint when, you know, Pure Silly knew what the truth of the matter was. But essentially she's just a stupid, she's sort of a silly, power mad bitch. Here she is running around with this Jew boy, Eli James, here. But old Pure Silly was just... Oh, Maui Patricia was telling Pure Silly, you ought to come down and get divorced and remarried just like me. You get it? I mean, having sex is the same as marriage. You know, if you have sex with somebody here, you're married to them. you know, according to Chris that day. So essentially, old Maui Patricia, she got married and I guess divorced and married and divorced one day here. She went ahead, she went to Vegas and she found a blonde, green-eyed Aryan, you know, dick here, but he was pretty to look at, but he was just no good in bed. So she went ahead and CI divorced him. So she found somebody else. I don't know. You gotta wonder if old Maui Patricia didn't sell her panties and a room key to an Elvis impersonator. But we will never know because Maui Patricia got blocked over at Elijah James's Voice of Dog, Christian Zog, last Sunday morning. And, folks, if you want to go ahead and look at the chat, it is hilarious. You know what I mean? So, no, Pure Silly wants to be in heat, but Pure Silly couldn't be in heat. You know what I mean? But getting all of it, I was going to go ahead and get on, but this is the sort of critter that you have in your wonderful bowel movement. You have Christian Identity retards who essentially are Mansers or Jews, want to pretend to be Christian Identity. You even have, I was fighting with some creatards last night. One of his name was, what, Old Cobb or something like that. And I went ahead, he lives in Ocala, Florida. I look at him, and what I see is an Anglo Mestizo. He has cork brown eyes. And folks, creatards usually are screwed up. There want to be Anglo Mestizo skinheads who want to pretend to be white, and they're not exactly white, they're off-white. And the reason that they go ahead and follow Benny, you know, Benny Klassen is because Benny Klassen, being a Jew, goes ahead and gives them a pass. But you gotta wonder, what the heck are these creatards or creatards doing with Harold Covington? Harold Covington is usually held in bigger hatred than even me, because he tells the story of Benny Buttfuck Klassen, the Ukrainian or Ruthenian or whatever Jew boy, self-hating Jew boy, who went ahead and created the white man's bibble and created a so-called racial religion for Uyghurs to wear. Unlike Jews who worship themselves, Uyghurs and Anglo Mestizos are supposed to worship themselves. And Harold Covington has been the biggest person to go ahead and make fun of Benny Klassen, the Klassenites, and the Pearsites. So you gotta wonder what the hell is going on. And here I was making fun of this tard. I asked him if he was related. I told him he looked like an Anglo Mestizo, and I don't argue with Mansers. But I asked him if he was related to Craig Corncob, because I sort of get along with Corncob, although Corncob, he's sort of annoyed Chris Sandane because some doofus named Carl Ghost tried to go ahead and convert him last fall, and thus made poor old Corncob have to live in a hole in Kalispell. But folks, what are these people doing around Harold Covington? A creatard, a normal creatard, does not like Harold Covington because Harold Covington and Benny Klassen did not get along at all. At all. So, well, no. Frank and Wigger's hoping to get him some here. Anyway, so, getting on with it, I have tried to explain to Covington, and Covington seems to understand it far better than his followers do, is that you can't go ahead and censor people who are getting on essentially the Facebook page and then whine about how you're censored at VMNF, Stormfront, or White News Now. Now, I do not get on, as Pastor Lindstedt, outside the Stumble Inn and Beer Barrel, I got banned as Martin Linstead on Four Fag Seeds, and I'm on back on, and I'm on Stumbling, or I'm on Sperm Front, and I'm on VNNF, and if they knew who I was, I would have my ass booted. I would have my ass booted real quick. So I do believe, and I've tried to explain to Covington, is that what you do is that what you can control, i.e. your blogs, your forum, you control. Yes, somebody control it. But what you cannot control, what you need in order to go ahead and bring them in, you know, bring them in, like Facebook, you don't control them. You essentially let the kiddies fight it out among each other. If they can't go ahead and get along, well, that's just tough shit. There is no such thing as movement unity. And Hill Covington has said that. Hill Covington knows that. So I'm hoping that he doesn't go ahead and treat the defection of Billy Roper as an excuse to go ahead and mess with Facebook or change things at Facebook, because that would not be smart at all, at least in my opinion. You see, if you don't control something on Facebook and somebody goes ahead and talks about Will Williams or Wiggerswill, Hell Covington cannot be held responsible for that which he does not control. So you keep out. You have two different things. Core things, like your forum and your blog, you control. You control absolutely. But things that you cannot control, like a Facebook page that you need to have, you don't bother controlling it. And you certainly do not bother, especially in the case of someone like Eli James and, McFag, Steve Elder. You don't save your tards. You don't save your retards. You don't save your idiots. You don't save your mamsers. You don't save your Jews. You don't save them. You let them live as best they can. That's what you do. So, in any case, you need to be friends with Brio. I don't think that's going to happen here. Since I think I have one hell of a sense of humor. You know what I mean? So, of course, Frankenwinger, I went ahead and had a friend of mine, and he went ahead and looked up, Maui Patricia Aiken, and said, she looks like a Venus to him. And I told him, I said, look, I went ahead and looked at her, and she did look like a hybrid nigger. One of these Ronald McDonald glow-in-the-dark hybrid niggers with the red hair. But she had, she's sort of like freaking Kathy Griffin here, you know what I mean? She had a sort of horse face like Kathy Griffin, so I don't know. I mean, she doesn't exactly look like a mestizo, but she does have mestizo eyes. And the eyes are usually the first thing to go. And essentially, but I had to laugh that old Maui Patricia, really? Yeah, I don't know what the hell. Maybe Maui Patricia had been hitting the bottle that morning. You know what I mean? Because she married this guy in the morning here, and he was handsome and pretty, and he had blonde hair and green eyes, but he was no good in bed. So she went ahead and went out again. And she married somebody else. And what happened in Vegas did not stay in Vegas here. You know what I mean? Octomom is hot. Octomom said that she don't even like dick unless she's going ahead and having eight of the little bastards squeezed out here. You know what I mean? She went ahead on Anderson Cooper and said that she preferred masturbation to anything. So you wouldn't know it, though. The Octomom don't even keep track of her eight nigglets here. She's a little part Jew, part nigger mamzer, sort of like Brian Real. Can you imagine? Brian Real and Octomom. You know what I mean? Okay. Well, in any case, guest number nine, you seem to have a problem with Frankenwinger. And folks, let me just say something. Frankenwinger can take care of himself. I'm not going to go ahead and interfere with anybody making fun of Frankenwinger. Frankenwinger can take care of himself, and usually he does here. Frankenwinger has a He has one hell of a sense of humor as well. Oh, by the way, on Newsmaster show, they were saying that Buck and Frankenwigger are the same critters. The answer is no, they're not. No, they're not. No, 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 they're not. Buck has no sense of humor. Buck is an earnest Israelite. He's just positively freaking Wigger grim. You know what I mean? Every time me or Pastor John Britton are talking to him, you know, talking to him and use the H word is hyper nigger. Every time we use the H word, I mean, shit, he is bleeding out his mangina. You know, Buck has no sense of humor. Frankenwigger, on the other hand, you know, Frankenwigger has, well, his sense of humor is, well, even beyond me here. I gotta admit that much here. Frankenwigger has one hell of a sense of humor. Frankenwigger is always sleek and on the spot here. So, sleek and on the spot means that, hey, you sort of sense that Frankenwigger may be making fun of you, but you can't put your finger on any sign of disrespect. And Frankenwigger has one hell of a sense of humor. Yeah, I mean, his sense of humor is, you know, I think sometimes even over the top more than mine here. You know what I mean? And I have one hell of a sense of humor. People are saying I laugh like I'm demented, but yeah, I don't really care. I don't really care. I mean, shoot. If you are in a grim place, if you are in a grim, grim, grim place like Biggs at Fulton State Hospital, living 60% doped up, very dangerous nigger, first thing you have to get is, quote, hypervigilance to where, hey, you are sensing the little feet of little niggers sneaking up on you. But the second thing you need to have is you need to have a sense of humor. You need to go ahead and be able to laugh at yourself. You need to be able to essentially roll with the punches and be flexible, but still keep your eye on the ball, and you need a sense of humor. And folks, if I didn't have a sense of humor, well, I would be in one hell of a place like I am now here. So, I mean, I appreciate Frankenwigger's sense of humor. Although I really still do not, you know, I mean, the appreciation for Maui Patricia only came up within about the last week or so when essentially she got blocked. She got blocked on Eli James's voice of Mamzer Dog. You know, he calls the voice of Christian Israel, no less. I call it the voice of Mamzer Dog. D-G. You know, because that's why I say the Jews' name for their father, Satan, is. Call him Dog. Because Jews like saying G-D for Yahweh. Well, for Satan, it's D-G. But anyway, getting on with it, I think I'm going to go ahead and take a short break here. Oh, by the way, Frankenwigger, he's sort of with Russ Walker on that. Russ Walker believes that Frankenwigger will have a shootout with pig lice. And I have a MP3 to where Brian Reel is talking about having a shootout with pig lice, and I need to go ahead and put it up. Although right now I don't have White Nationalist page to go ahead and put it up. That's why I'm going to go ahead and send an email to Colm and pretty well everybody on there. And essentially it'll be a file of around, 15 megabytes and 16 kilobytes per second. And then have Colm or whatever put up a link to the show, and then pretty well let it go out on Nimbusters and figure out how to use archive.org. Alright? But getting on with it, folks, what we do, you know, I mean, what did I get on there here? He's no sense of humor. He ain't Medicaid. He's just a Mamzer. He's a grim little Mamzer. A grim, 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 grim little Mamzer. He has absolutely no sense of humor. None. But getting on with it, you have these people who essentially by their behavior they go ahead and reveal what they are. Not only just by skin color, but by their behavior. But folks, having somewhat of a sense of humor. Not taking yourself seriously. Because, folks, if you don't have a sense of humor, essentially it means that you worship yourself too much. And, folks, for all this talk about being old believers like this Richard Giesecke or something like that, what he is, he's a solipsist. He worships himself. Folks, do not worship yourself. Don't create your own little me-god. Once you understand that you can make mistakes and you learn from them and you live with them and you laugh at them, then you will be a lot better off with a sense of humor. And folks, people who do not have a sense of humor, they do not, essentially, they're not able to go ahead and laugh at their own mistakes. If you're not able to laugh at your own mistakes, it means you're not able to learn from your own mistakes. You can tell about Frankenwager that he learns from his mistakes. He might go ahead and go back if he enjoys them. But folks, he does learn from his mistakes here. Someone like Brian Reno has absolutely no sense of humor. Essentially, you know, his life, just like old Appy over on Stumbling, his life is determined because essentially he's nothing more than an animal, a beast of the field. Just like a nigger. What does a nigger have to look forward to? Normally, niggers do not live in a state of nature. Niggers don't live to be 30. Most of them die in infancy or young adulthood, you know, or childhood. And then some of them, the stronger ones, survive for a little while. They breed, and then they die. That's why large portions of Africa were depopulated, because, hey, niggers just could not live with each other. And essentially, the female nigger is the one who does all the work and bears the children and raises them as best, you know, that she boon can. And then you have a nigger comes to power, and he's just like a lion. He goes ahead and he breeds with them. And then the nigger male goes ahead and loses, and then a new nigger male shows up. And that's the history of niggers in Africa. And then the rest of the humanoid population, be it Chinese, be it American Indian, they have a little bit more advanced civilization, but still it's just nothing more than a despotism. I've gone ahead and seen gooks, and gooks do real good in this country because, hey, individual gooks do not do well in China. The answer they do not well in China is there's so damn many of them. Essentially, they live off of each other. So, I'm going to go ahead, and since this is about the movement, I'm going to go ahead, and next segment, I'm going to go ahead and talk about how, and I noticed this. Now, I'm not allowed to go ahead and get on Brian Reel or Finkelschini's No Guest Is. They have things clamped down tight at Finkelschini's. Clamped down tight as can be. And as a result, all they have to say is the same old pretending to be white. There's nothing intelligent being said over at Finkelschini's or at Elias, except by the trolls. That's one way they detect trolls, is the troll is far more smarter than the average critter. But getting on with it, I have noticed that when I get on, say, Elias, and I'm spamming the crap out of them, or tonight they did not have an Aryan Nations thing because I spammed the crap out of Galette, and I spammed the crap out of Alan Truitt, and I think I traumatized them so they didn't have a show tonight, so-called Aryan Nations. But what I've noticed is that when you get on their little show, they hunker down. They hunker down, and your average little targe will not say a single thing. And essentially, that's what I did with Eli James' show here Once he went ahead and got off, and I got off at the very tail end, I was going ahead and writing comments. And essentially, these people were just sitting and taking it. They were taking their screwing like cuddled up sheep. And folks, I've noticed that on other forums as well. Most of the critters on these white national forums have no means or way of learning to go ahead and think for themselves. But then again, they're not looking to look think for themselves. They're looking for a great leader. Somebody to tell them about Christian identity, to where Christian identity actually does love Zog. Christian identity doesn't want any bloodshed. Christian identity doesn't want a great tribulation. Christian identity really does love niggers. Christian identity really does love Jews here. Jews are actually God's chosen people here, and we just misunderstand them. And so, they sit like sheep, huddled together in a ring, not able to think for themselves. And I've seen this on a number of forums here. So I'm going to go ahead and take a break, and we'll come back for the fourth segment. I'm trying to go ahead and keep these segments about 30 minutes so I can go ahead and put in songs and other things here to go ahead and change things up. So folks, hail victory, and we'll be back in a few minutes. Liar Bill DeClueless, you mumps nutted, niglet niece molesting sack of shit, with an 85 IQ on a good day, 250 pounds of dog shit in a 150 pound sack, who begged and begged and begged for me to ordain it, and then went ahead after 3 days, went sucking back to Clunt Downey and a little meerkat. You've been talking shit about me on 405 Thebes here. What the hell does a sorry sack of shit like you have to say for yourself?
Yeah, that's pretty much how I am. I'm asking, I'm like, you know, I made a mistake because I'm weak, but you know, I don't want to do that anymore. Please help me to not do this anymore.
Why don't you go ahead and sing your little theme song here while you're at it? Hornier, the Kunta Kinte at a Victoria's Secret shoot. That night I strolled in on my Mud Shark Sisters project flat looking for love. It had been a while. In fact, 365 had come and went since on Clan of Manzer's Fine for Zog on Ron Edwards. I picked up this shit's skin that was sweating gallons through a pair of Daisy Duke cutoffs and one of them blue loom tank tops. Well, that night, I lost myself to nigger blubber lips, paper bag shit skin, and flat gook eyes. Name was Brian. The coontang is so much better when the nigglet is crying. Yes, the coontang is so much wetter when the nigglet is crying. Well, I find it's quite a thrill, which an equal grinds me against its will. Yes, the coontang is so much better than the nigglet is crying. Well, faster than you can say Sally Hemings, my nigglet nieces come up to me and start steaming my balls like hard-boiled eggs in a tube sock. Said her name was Shaniqua, and I said, hey, that's a coincidence, darling, because I was just thinking about humping you like Master Tom. So she smiled, had about as much teeth as a jack-o'-lantern, and I went on to tell her how I would wear tang like a mask as I do my little cookie dance. And then she told me to shush. I guess she confessed my desperation, because it's hard to hide a hard-on when you're dressed like a beach ball. Dang, it's so much better when the nigglet is crying. Yes, the coontang is so much wetter when the nigglet is crying. Well, I find it's quite a thrill
When Letitia drives me against its will. Yes, the Koontang is so much better when the niglet is crying. So Letitia's going on about how she's going to make all my fantasies come true. So I says, even this one where I have where Bill Fink is Jack Hammer, Eli or Jason, Doo-Doo Hole with Ron Dart, and Vicky Barrett gives birth to something resembling a Siskin Jew Golem with a wet manjana and a 3-inch lady stick, both two nickel bags, 20 minutes and $30 later, I'm slapping my mom's best in Koontang. Koontang, if you know what I mean. That's a nailer back at Sister Sharon. Huh, that rhymes. I have to admit, it was even more of a turn-on when I found out she was munching down on baby formula. Yes, the Koontang is so much better when the niglet is crying. Yes, the Koontang is so much wetter when the niglet is crying. Well, I find it's quite a thrill when Leroy grinds me against its will. Yes, the Koontang is so much better when the niglet is crying. Dear Sword Pass, when I went to a special agent in charges, there I was browsing through the latest issue of STLC Informants, and when I saw Shaniqua staring at me from the back of a milk carton, well, my heart just dropped. So I decided to do what any good Zogbot would. You cannot imagine how difficult it is to hold a half gallon of moo juice and need the one-eyed gopher when your mouth starts to expand while driving back to the project. I never thought the missing niggas could be so sexy. Did I say that out loud? Koontang is so much better than the nigglet is crying. Yes, the Koontang is so much wetter when the nigglet is crying. Well, I find it's quite a thrill when Kimya grinds me against its will. Yes, the Koontang is so much better when the nigglet is crying.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Did you want to go ahead and speak or what?
Okay.
That's almost enough to make me and Roxy come up to visit you here one of these days here. Oh, wow. We haven't been, especially what we've been doing the last couple weeks, essentially eating stuff out of cans or eating stuff frozen and cooking in the microwave, although I did go ahead and make some hamburger helper the other day. You know, I mean, you had 2 days where, you know, it rained and it got... It was 75 degrees at 9 o'clock, and then it got up to only about 96. So that was a cool day. You know what I mean? But it's gone back to being hot. And I was hoping it was going to rain, but it didn't here. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and let you cook up your stuff here. And I'm going to, pretty well talk about what's going on the Edgar Steele front over at DNNF. Over on Sperm Front, over on Obagender Benders, and essentially Nimbusters is just a chaos. Pretty well just a chaos party, so I don't really cover them too much here. Okay? So, you stopped all your eggs, turkey, and pork here. Well, Rickstrom really hates... okay. Well, anyway, I'm going to go ahead and... heck, I've been recording for about 2 minutes. All right, folks. It's around 9:43, about a quarter to 10, and I wanted to go ahead and cover what's going on in the rest of the bowel movement. Real quick is that McFag is having a little shit fit because Covington would not go ahead and censor me. And I went ahead and read what he wrote here. Covington 2 days ago said, if you don't like what Lindstedt's saying, just fucking ignore him. And that's the smartest thing to do. Because Covington is himself facing censorship. He's facing a good deal of censorship. April Gady over on White News Now censors the crap out of him. Essentially, he's censored on site pretty well everywhere he's gone. He's gone ahead and told people to, go ahead and suicide post over on DNNF or Sperm Front or White News Now or wherever. Now, I don't know what the heck that accomplishes, but Covington is smart enough to realize is that you can't go ahead and whine about censorship and then go ahead and do censorship yourself. So, I went ahead and said is that I see people who do not understand how to grow a movement is something that will be valued. You always need to weed out the freaks or it's over. Well, no, Steve Elder. You're the main or the worst of the freaks. You're not even white. You're a sort of little quasi-Jew, Tubal-Kenite Pictish Mamzer, who, I've seen him talk to this one kid, and, you know, and there was a talk by E. Ray Capt, the Christian identity, sort of historian or archaeologist, and he was talking with Pete Peters, and what it was is that E. Ray Capt is not dual seed line. He's British Israel. He's not dual seed line at all. He doesn't like going ahead and agreeing with the dual seed line belief of, a limited flood, of Cain becoming Sargon, and Sargon the Great of a key. Now, to the dual seed liner, he actually believes certain things here. And what is happening today in Zog Babylon has happened before. You've had Jews come in and take over from the Uyghurs and destroy the Uyghurs as a race, and then their empire falls apart. And that's what we're seeing today. Folks, if you want to go ahead and see what's going on, just turn the TV off and look at what is going on in the shows. And what you have is that on your regular fiction show, you always have diversity. You have to have a blonde with sort of big tits, blue-eyed blonde, and there's fewer and fewer of them. Now they're having to do with dark-eyed, bleached blondes. And then they have little nigger chicks here, and then little Anglo mestizos here who ain't quite white, and then they have their nigger or two or something like that. There's some stupid show on, what, CBS going on with some blood stains and how these niggers are just great forensics here. Now, folks, it don't require forensics to know what happens most of the time, and say, like in Akron, essentially, you had a nigger, go ahead and run wild, and he went ahead and killed a bunch of his, nigglets and the rest of them, as young as 11 years old. 8 dead niggers. And, folks, you don't require any CSI or anything like that to figure out it was a nigger with a gun killing his nigglets. Or killing his, wife or brother or whatever. Killing, niggers killing niggers. Most of the time, in most of the cases, you do not need to have a forensic unit. You don't need to have any of this wild shit going on because it's just, niggers. And if it's not niggers, it's beaners. And then if it's not, it's Anglo mestizos. And very few is there much crime. And that's the way it is in a white, world here. But you have more and more and more crime because you have fewer and fewer whites and more non-whites. And they're acting according to their nature. But getting back to Steve Elder, I will be creating a backup, higher class version of NWI, as a Northwest Imperative Group, and saying WNS are all invited, BU atheist, heathen, CI, traditional Christian, NSist, white power, or whatever. This will happen in the next few days, and anyone who wants to join, please PM me. It will also serve the purpose of a united membership of us in case Hack gets hammered again by Jewbook. It will be a secret group, and the madmen are not welcome. I guess I'm not welcome. I and a few other trusty moderators will watch over it. Well, good Lord. McFag is going to create his own little sperm front. I don't think Clint Downey's invited. I know that I'm not invited. Please, McFag, please let me be on your little forum. You need someone to make fun of you, you goofy tool. Can I pick the schmamzer? Nah, never mind, McFag. I'll just go ahead and send some of my 10,000 warlords to go ahead and get on there, and they will be telling me everything that you do. But there won't be anything intelligent that you do. You'll just be showing your guns. You'll be sort of like, I remember this one character. His name was Billy. I won't go ahead and use his real name here. Billy was paranoid schizophrenic. He was in supposedly for molesting his niece or something like that here. And I don't know if he did or not. But Billy was screwed up in the head. Like I said, I like doubles. 2-4 of that or something. Or you're fired. He'd go ahead and tell. He went ahead and looked at the apprentice, and he went ahead and picked up, you're fired. I like doubles because he liked double portions, but he never got any. But you're fired. And he'd go ahead and tell the people who worked in the nut house, you're fired. And essentially, what you see is that you see genuinely fucked up in the head people. And he got moved to Farmington. He's never going to go to trial because he's fucked up in the head totally. He's like the truly schizoid. What they do is they listen to the little voices in their heads, and they think they're angels. They never think of their demons. So what they do is they listen to their little voices, and their little noses are up in the air. And I went ahead and made a Billy joke. I said, look, we were going around the things of bigs here, and we've seen one of the big three, the B3, the Ward 3 big skanks running around. And the girlies have twice as many staff support calls as the rest of the nut house, you know, combined. The girlies are always nuttier than the guys. And what happens, old Billy and I, we're walking in there, and I'm behind Billy, and Billy says, "Listen, what do I do here? I think this girl's looking at me." I said, Billy, you need to go ahead and take charge of it. You know, there are ways off here. Go ahead and look at that skank here, and you go ahead and you look at her here, and what you do is that you sort of flex your arms and show her your manly arms. So they're getting closer here, and old Billy just goes ahead and, stretching out, he flexes his arms here. So what do I do now here? I said, Billy, what happens? I want you to undo the top buttons of your shirt, show her your manly chest. So they're getting closer, and the skank is sort of looking at Billy here, and Billy goes ahead and removes the top buttons of his shirt here. Starts showing, because he's not wearing an undershirt, showing his manly chest. And the skank is looking at him here. We're getting closer and closer to where they're on the opposite side. You know, we're heading west, and they're heading east on the opposite side of the aisle. He said, "What do I do now?" I said, "Billy, go for the kill. Show her your nuts." And what does Billy do? He goes ahead, and he puts his hands up to his ears here, and he makes the face out. That was that story true. The answer is hell no, it wasn't true. It was one hell of a good story though. Billy, show her your nuts. Well, Steve Elder, as far as I'm concerned, has showed us he's nuts. His nuts. And his ass as well here. The thing about... Yeah. Okay. Oh yeah, he. I'm trying to go ahead and record you here. Go on.
It turns out he's had a few different avatars, especially on the old Northwest Forum before it went down in March. Those same avatars, the same weird...
Okay, his avatars are?
I'm trying to go ahead and record you here. Go on. But anyway, it okay, his avatars are there's this one, and sometimes
I'm gonna go ahead and then, here, let's just have a five second break real quick here. I'm gonna go ahead and mute the computer because it's not sound very good. And okay, he has a number of avatars. Go on.
So on and so forth, but it shocks me to find he's all over the internet.
Well, he's up all hours of the day, too, here. He was going ahead and talking to, he was talking to this kid from Massachusetts. And what he also does is he, he went ahead and admitted that he used to be a sort of a gopher or something like that a couple of years ago, and he has not had a job for at least two and a half years or something like that here. And from my view, he's a hardcore unemployment whose wife, long-suffering, you know, essentially, you know, just goes ahead and brings in the money, brings in the food, whatever. And Steve Elder, McFag, whatever, doesn't go ahead and do anything. And as far as this here little secret super forum or something like that, or Facebook page or something like that, I mean, he got kicked off the Stormfront because, for my view, he tried to boot old Debbie Clark Downey. And none of these people are having this sort of thing. And essentially what he is, he's a mattoid. I mean, he's an idiot is what he is. And the same thing with this Richard Giesecke. You end up having him and MacDog Williams, who is another tard pretending to be Christian Identity. He's both with the Finkelshiny and with Eli James here. And you end up having just simply a tard corral or a tard circus. So, in any case, by all means, go ahead and dig in. But, I mean, the guy is not really a harmless eccentric in that what he is that he will pretty well destroy, you know, he will pretty well destroy, you know, due to his own silliness, any organization that he's with here. If you go ahead and let him have power, he will try to seize it, but he doesn't know how to go ahead and use it. And that is, I mean, the thing about it is that I wish he was with Alex Linder rather than with Harold Covington. But it don't really matter that much here. He's really, I don't know, people say, why do you have so much patience with Brian Reel, and why do you have patience with Trader Glenn Miller? And the answer is, I don't have any patience, but what they are is that they are extremely valuable, and that once you know who or what they are, you go ahead and see which creatures are clustered around them, and you make your own decisions on what sort of people they are, because they don't have a problem with Trader Glenn Miller, and they don't have a problem with Brian Reel, and they don't have a problem with Eli James, and they don't have a problem with Bill Fink. You see, sort of see what I'm getting at? Well, I guess he's sort of in down here. Well, the thing, you don't need to be disappointed in Harold Covington. And the reason you don't need to be disappointed in Harold Covington is that Harold Covington, I go ahead and I listen, and to a lot of people where they listen to Radio Free Northwest, it's altogether brand new. And some of these people are not able to go ahead and read the written word. And essentially, Harold Covington has already gone ahead and explained why he can't be seen censoring people. Because he bitches about it, happening on Spermfront, on VNNF, and on White News Now. And essentially, that came out in a little message that was spread, is that Harold Covington figured out is that he couldn't dare censor Martin Lindstedt, because then you'd have a bunch of people, you know, who are my partisans getting all mad at Harold Covington over that here. And yeah, well, that is true. The thing about it is that Harold Covington, sometimes I hear discouragement in his voice. I hear, you know, tales about how he, you know, he's talking about how he's not in very good health. His blood pressure is way up. He needs to go ahead and get more exercise. How he's going to go ahead and put aside writing his novel and just go ahead and go with what he has, you know, for part one of Freedom Sons. and how some people on his podcast told him to go ahead and write racial fiction here. And the fact of the matter is that if he wants to continue this Northwest Front, he has no choice but to go ahead and do the thing that has made his podcast successful, and that is to continue, or his Northwest thing to where he got some traction, is to continue to do the podcast. Yeah, these people who just simply live, breathe Harold Covington, and these idiots, oh, yes, Harold, work on your book and go ahead and neglect your podcast. Well, the fact of the matter is that once they read the book, they'll be gone. Go ahead and gone. They're not able to read all. I mean, Harold Covington has had a newsletter of sorts for the past 20 or 25 years. And that is what he does best here. And he does not do, like me, an ad-lib show. He's uncomfortable doing an ad-lib show. And I've heard, you know, I hear on his Radio Free Northwest what I read a dozen years ago. And he needs, if he's serious about doing this Northwest Front, he needs to continue his podcast. Don't worry about the Facebook. The Facebook is just simply a tard corral. It's simply a zoo. Don't worry about Linstead going ahead and munching down on a few of your tards. I mean, essentially the rest of the tards. It's just like a herring fisherman found out a century ago that in order to go ahead and improve the herring catch, the live herring catch, you put a dogfish or two in with the herring, and the dogfish will chase and will kill and eat a herring or two. He won't go ahead and kill them all. He'll just go ahead and hunt down and kill the slower and weaker ones of them. And as a result, the herring are in better shape because of the dogfish or two. And that's what Harold Covington needs to understand, is that I'm just going ahead and pulling down or ridiculing a few of his most stupid tards, and the rest of them will be better off either not answering me, huh? But oh, they're getting ridiculed. Yeah. Okay. Well, the thing about it is, McBragg is just a total fucktard. I mean, you don't even want him as Gomer Pyle in your freaking rifle unit, if you have any sense. You know what I mean? He's just a complete idiot. And what he does is that I go ahead and I troll him on the Liar James's here, and essentially you have all these retards. Oh no! Guest number 24 is a troll! And usually what happens is you have somebody who don't know how to flash troll. And occasionally I've admitted when I see some really good foot target shit on the Elijah James's, I will go ahead and I get on Skype and I will go ahead and, you know, bring up a wolf pack, you know, a wolf pack of trolls. And one of them went ahead and got bad. He said, well, how do I keep my stuff up like you do? I says, what you do is you get on, you say what you have to say, and then you log off to where they can't remove it here. You flash troll them. And, you know, I have summoned up a wolf pack. But most, you know, McBragg is just a total retard. I mean, he relies on Eli James and on the Sudi sisters to go ahead and protect him against ridicule. And essentially all he is just he's a delusional whiner is what he is. That's all he is here. And you do not. You might want him staying at home and being the armorer, you know, if you know so much about guns, but I mean, the thing about it is that you end up getting him captured or wounded or something like that. I mean, he's not a tough character. You might think he is, but he's not a tough character at all. You know what I mean? So, but going on, if you get a chance, maybe you can go ahead and give a link to some of this Northwest stuff here. The reason it doesn't really matter so much about the debt limit is that essentially, you're having Portugal, Ireland, Greece, and now Italy and soon Spain getting sick, and essentially the reason that the euro used to be high compared to the dollar, now it's gone down. The reason of it is because of all, you have this sickness. You have this financial sickness all across the world. I was looking at what the chat said. They call it flash trolling. What you do is, like, for example, how come Eli James looks like a Chicago Sephardic Jew? http://whitenationalist.org/elijames.jpg. Go ahead, put that up immediately. Get off. And then what happens is that when they try to go ahead and kick you off, you're already off there. And the thing stays up there, and they can't go ahead and get rid of it. But I was looking, and you had a couple people who did not like McBragg, did not like McFag, and they were going ahead and just dicking with them. But, folks, this is a number of things, is that occasionally times I go ahead and get on our Eli James show, a guest number two or guest number three, and I immediately crap all over Eli James about how he's a Jew, how McFag is a freak. Go ahead, just trash all over them. And these retards will go ahead and look at it. They will go ahead and look at it. And then Eli James comes on a couple minutes late, and I immediately stop trolling, on Toshiba number one, which is my main computer. And you know what? Not a single one of these tards will go ahead and rat me out. They just sit about like a bunch of sheep. Not sure what the hell to do. And it is freaking hilarious. Most of these people are they're not serious at all. But I was going to go ahead and over on VNNF here, for example. Let me go ahead and get over to VNNF. And Edgar Steele, page 106. Right now, on the Edgar Steele charge and murder for hire plot, and let me go ahead and put this down, you have two people, essentially still arguing, and you have Don Pauly. I'm trying to go ahead and get that thing in here. You have Don Pauly and having the meerkat essentially talking shit about Edgar Steele is guilty. Don Pauly says that Edgar Steele was insane. He is nuts. He screwed up in the head. He actually did plan, but he screwed up in the head. And Hadding just simply says, oh no, Edgar is just a lying criminal here who wanted to go ahead and murder his wife. And the only one who is sticking up for Edgar Steele is this guy named John Liberty, who understands that, look, Edgar Steele, for all his faults, is one of us. Edgar Steele is one of us, and I have pointed out several times, is that even if Edgar Steele was guilty, I'd be saying he was innocent, but, folks, I really do think Edgar Steele is innocent. I do not listen to whatever Zog says. I do not listen to Zog lies. I do not listen to Zog making shit up. I don't go ahead and believe what Zog says. as far as I'm concerned, I can make a Zogling say whatever the hell I want him to do, just like the Ustyazinski did. And I don't believe in having mercy on Zog regime criminals or the Spawn or anybody else. I went in and asked Russ Walker what he thought about, you know, this, you know, Breivik. And he said he was a great Nordic hero. Well, I wouldn't go that far. But I do not have any mercy. I do not have any. I'm not going to be whining about these little traitor brats. And like Harold Covington was reading on his podcast about how, essentially, you go ahead and look at it, about a third or more, close to half, of the critters that old Anton Breivik shot were niggers, asylum seekers who were just nothing but rapists. Harold Covington was talking about this 14-year-old girl who killed herself because the police allowed these Moroccan, animals to rape her and rape her and rape her and rape her. And essentially these traitors went ahead and allowed this shit to happen. Some fucking Vikings here, these regime criminals over in Norway, have turned out to be. And Harold Covington was going ahead and reading a letter from somebody who actually was in Norway. And folks, what we have is we have parasitic elites, and it's been the same way with Zog Babylon, is that every single time these Jews get in and they find regime criminals coming in, these regime criminals go ahead and betray the own founding people here. And now the reason we have this fault is you have too few white people, and what white people there are have largely gone ahead and given up. And essentially the muds and the animals and the old thieves are running things here. And the reason Zog is scared shitless. Zog is scared shitless. It's because unlike 10 years ago or 20 years ago or 50 years ago, it didn't really matter if people were talking about overthrowing Zog or thinking about it, because you always have your radical, disconnected, discontented people. What Zog is scared of is a budding little Hitler or a budding little something else. And let me tell you what Zog is really, 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 really scared of. It's my sort of 10,000 warlords program, to where I'm just simply telling white men, don't worry. There's plenty of money. There's plenty of pussy. There's plenty of land. There's plenty of cattle. There's plenty of all the stuff that make life wonderful. All you have to do is go ahead and exterminate the regime criminals and the Jews and the Mamzers and the Uyghurs. They keep you from having what you deserve. All I wish for you to learn here is essentially, if you're white, to learn dual seedline Christian identity so that you use it as not only a religious sword, a religious shield, but you use it as a religious sword as well, to go ahead and have a political and religious underpinning for when you go ahead and destroy the lives of these regime criminals and these traitors and these Jews and these Mamzers who have gone ahead and are destroying Yahweh's servant nation. Folks, the Great Tribulation is all about essentially things falling apart, how the center cannot hold, like William Butler Yeats wrote in 1922. The center cannot hold, things fall apart. Okay, folks, and on that note, it's time for another music break. What we're going to go ahead and play is this hymn called, Blow the Horn, Let Zion Hear, and it's from Joel chapter 2, originally written with music and lyrics. Well, the lyrics are from Joel chapter 2, but the music was composed by Dwight Armstrong, who is Herbert Armstrong's more talented brother. So, hold on, and we'll just go ahead and put a break right around in the middle of this segment of Movement Turret. Hail Victory. Blow
blow the horn, let Zion hear. For God's day is now at hand. Let the people tremble in this day of clouds and gloominess. Troops so great and mighty strong, there has never been the like. Nothing shall escape as they devour the stubble on their way. Fire before them shall devour, flames ablaze are left behind. Such as Eden was shall become a wilderness that's desolate. Like the noise of chariots, and as horsemen do they run. Nothing shall escape as they devour the stubble on their way. People are faint at their sight, for they run like mighty men. Moving each on his own way, they do not tangle in their paths. Each to follow his own line, climbing walls like men of war. Then they charge as warriors and advance like fighters on their way. They upon the city leap, break through weapons each unharmed, run upon the walls and climb in houses, through the windows leap. Earth is quaking as they come, heaven shakes, stars cease to shine. Then the eternal thunders and the sun and moon become both black.
And that's exactly what is going on. Now the reason is that Europe has even bigger financial problems. By going ahead and bringing in these Mediterranean countries in which there are hardly any whites. There are no whites left, like Greece. And whether, they're off-white like Portugal and Italy, and mostly northern Italy is always in better financial shape than southern Italy because, hey, southern Italy is darker. The further south you go in Italy, the darker it gets. And Spain? Well, Spain is pretty well, Spain could go ahead and fix itself if it wanted to. But essentially, it's a whole lot easier to go ahead and live off the German taxpayer. A whole lot easier if you're a frog to go ahead and live off the taxpayer. So, hey, folks, things are turning to crap. And, folks, right now, it is 7 hours. It is 7 hours ahead of this time. I know, because I was stationed in Germany. Right now, it's 5:15 a.m. in Germany right now. 5:15 in, in Germany, it's 4:15 in Greenwich, England. It's 5:15 in Frankfurt right now. Now, I think it's what? I think it's the same time in Rome, Italy. I'm not quite sure about Paris. But, folks, it's, in Germany. It's 5:15 a.m. Right now, the Asiatic markets have gone ahead and been around. It's been around for about, it's probably around, 7, 8, 9 o'clock in Japan or whatever. I'm not quite sure because I've never stationed in Japan. But it's 5:15, and nobody knows what's going to end up happening tomorrow as a result of this downgrade. Well, folks, this downgrade is the handwriting on the wall. Standard & Poor's said, hey, look, if we need to, in about 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, 6 months. It goes ahead and looks like what's going on. We're going to go ahead and downgrade your bonds even more. And folks, if you actually read the thing here, I think I'll go ahead and give to where the Standard & Poor's went ahead and said why they were downgrading it. Here I had it as a it's the wrong place here. Let me see. Okay. Let me go ahead and give this thing here. United States of America, long-term rating lowered to AA+. So what happens, they only did grade it down by one. AA+, on political risk and rising debt burden, outlook negative. 8-page article. I'll go ahead and put it up right now. Well, the thing about it is, like Harold Covington said, it's not actually, you know, the nigger was yapping about, you know, going ahead and not paying Social Security to the, you know, to old Whiggers. You know, so the old Whiggers would go ahead and get on the Republicans. Oh, send them my Social Security check now. What happens is there was more than enough money, and folks, like I have pointed out before, the House of Representatives, like I was trying to point out to Russ. I mean, when Barnea was getting this shit from Tea Partiers, what he should have simply said is, look, President Nigger, look, Harry Reid, you thieving son of a bitch here, because I've seen in 2010, Harry Reid should have lost the election. Harry Reid should have lost the election, this election, but essentially he got pulled out by vote fraud. So he's a cocksucker who's a majority leader. And he thinks that the Constitution says that he gets to decide in conjunction with the House of Representatives of how much money they'll spend. And Obongo, well, he has a 14th Amendment right to go ahead and raise the debt ceiling. And the answer is no, they don't. These Tea Partiers didn't need to have the little fig leaf of demanding a balanced budget, especially since essentially, they can't say what the Senate's going to pass, and they can't say what the states are going to pass to where it's going to make, be an amendment. They had a balanced budget right then and there in their hands because, essentially, by refusing to raise the debt limit, they had a balanced budget. Essentially, we're not going to go ahead and raise any debt ceiling at all. So, therefore, you must live with whatever comes in this month, next month, and the next month, and we're not going to run any more deficit because guess what? We're not going to raise the debt ceiling. And if Barnier had been serious, he would have said, hey, look, folks, this is what the House passed. And guess what? For two years, you have not passed any agreement with the House. With the Republican House, you have not passed anything. At all. For 2 years. You refuse to do so, and Barnier was whining about his neck being stuck out. Well, who gives a shit, Barnier, about you and your precious little neck being stuck out? More to the point. Is that essentially the House of Representatives could have presented Harry Reid, dirty Harry Reid, and old nigger, Obongo. Essentially, I presented you, well, you may think of it as shit on a plate, but I presented you with a spending bill. And essentially, we refused to go ahead and raise the debt limit. You may not like it, but essentially, that's all you are going to get. You can either eat it or not. But look, old nigger, we will have a bill of impeachment if you dare to go ahead and raise this debt ceiling without our approval. But instead, they come up with a deal. And Harold Covington had it quite right. Essentially, and Standard & Poor's had it quite right.
If you go ahead and read the 8-page report on that link, essentially they don't believe that in the midterm or in the long term, the United States is going to pay all these rising deficits. And like Carl Denger said, essentially what it's like is like a 400-pound man going ahead and going and eating at McDonald's every freaking day, announcing as a cut in weight the fact that he only weighs 500 pounds at the end of the year instead of 600 pounds that he wanted to weigh out. So he lost 100 pounds. No. That's so he actually gained 100 pounds. It used to be 400 pounds, and even though you don't weigh 600 pounds, it's not a cut now that you just weigh 500 pounds. And certainly now... Yeah. When they budget something, okay. When they budget something less than what they intend to spend, that's a cut. And essentially, Standard & Poor's was not fooled by that, now were they?
Not at all.
Not at all. Idiotic, idiotic. That's what Carl Denger said. If you go ahead and you make $100,000 a year, but you spend $177,000 a year, and you just borrow $77,000 of it, I mean, essentially you are going to eventually go bankrupt, even if you make $100,000 a year, right? Well, it's not, I mean, they, you know, this shit started. I went ahead and this summer, what I do is I have a library book, and I usually read about half hour before I go to bed. And I was reading Jimmy Carter's White House Diary. And folks, I thought Carter was a freaking idiot. And the thing about it is that Carter actually was an honest, he was as honest a man as he could afford to be. I mean, there's no such thing as an honest politician. But essentially, a lot of stuff that Reagan took credit for, like deregulating trucking, deregulating the airline, deregulating whatever, deregulating a bunch of the stuff, Jimmy Carter started. And the reason you end up having a bunch of inflation, you end up having a bunch of unemployment. Ronald Reagan took care of it essentially by transforming in his first 4 years America from the biggest creditor nation to America being the biggest debtor nation. And things went changed quite a bit in 4 years. And at the end of 4 years, it was 1984, and we were wondering, when's the Reagan Revolution going to start? When is he going to actually cut the size of government? And the answer is he never did. He went ahead and raised it. And then Bush
you know, Bush Senior did the same thing. And essentially, he went ahead and broke his, you know, bond of no new taxes. And folks, every time there's a tax increase here, that tax increase takes place immediately. Every time there's an agreement for a spending cut, it never happens. And that's the same thing that happened under Reagan and happened under, well, Bush Sr. And folks, even, you know, I mean, actually, Bill Clinton was the most, you know, after Jimmy Carter, was the most financially frugal of the rest here. And you're talking about the wonderful Bush years. Essentially, I still go ahead and laugh at the Onion, you know, the Onion, the satirical little internet newsletter back in 2000. They had, in January 2000, they had George Bush allegedly saying, "America, your long national nightmare of prosperity and peace is over." And, or 2001, I'm sorry, 2001, January 2001, "America, your national..." And folks, Bush was known as a thief. He stole the election. He was known as a total clown. And then he became a great hero on 9/11. And folks, 9/11 was a total set-up job. Essentially, little Arabs were allowed to think that they had pulled a fast one. And they got blamed on the Arabs, even though it was a Zog, you know, Mossad false front operation from start to finish, just like Oklahoma City. You know, just like, well, Pearl Harbor, just like the Maine, just like the Lusitania, just like Fort Sumter. And folks, our Jew masters, no Whigger belief in that. "We have been attacked here!" And essentially, the provocation is created. That's exactly what the hell's been happening ever since American history. Ever since the Revolutionary War. I mean, there were actual, the War of 1812 didn't need to happen. It was pretty well a screw-up. But Civil War, you know, the Mexican War, the Civil War, all the stuff here, you've had provocations. And essentially what's been is it's been pretty well pulling the wool over Zogling Whigger eyes to go ahead and get them to stampede like a herd into a war or what have you. Now, in the case of these, you know, these Navy SEALs and the rest of them got scragged in Afghanistan, what the hell is there in Afghanistan that's so vitally important? Hell, there's neither Jews nor oil in Afghanistan. Right? There's Jews who want to go in and have a war, but essentially there's not really any oil or Jews that are needed to be fought for. And as a result, essentially the empire will not be able to support its wars for very long. If you notice, the Republicans don't say a single thing about cutting defense, do they? And yes, they don't. Yeah, I went out the window because Republicans didn't want to cut defense because, hey, the fat cats are running, you know, corporate employers are running, you know, are contributing money to them for defense contracts, correct? That's exactly what it is. Well, I've been involved in Whigger patriot politics here, be it Libertoons, be it the USTP, right, you know, founded by this, you know, Khazar Jew named Howard Phillips, be it the Reform Party, be it whatever. And essentially you have a bunch of old Whiggers running around talking about they've got to go ahead and save Zog here. And, oh, they're not racist. And essentially a nigger comes in And if the nigger is not going ahead and saying, kill Whitey, he's their little token nigger. And the token nigger just goes ahead, sucks it up here, and, you know, reports whatever little nigger shit here, be it Thomas Sowell or Walter Williams or whatever. And essentially what happens is that every little nigger goes ahead. I mean, not every little nigger, but the older niggers learn to go ahead and be Tom niggers. And essentially, the Republicans love to have their little Tom niggers to show they're not racist. They're not racist. They're not racist. Oh, yes, I have him in my house here because he's a good nigger. Good nigger. He's a little house nigger. And he's my little good little nigger. And I have seen, you know, Patrick Buchanan went ahead and denounced me for racism. You have all these people here, and they play their little game. They play their little games, and essentially, then, you know, like Pat Buchanan denounced me for racism, and essentially his little nigger running primate was a lot more polite to me than old Pat ever was. And essentially, all I did was just simply repeat what Pat said, but hey, I was an evil Nazi. I was a dangerous extremist. I was that here. And I got denounced by Pat Buchanan in 2000. As a racist here. I was vile, bigoted, obscene, or whatever. You know what I mean? And you have these retards, and they play their little game. Now, until these wiggers are being chased by Ma Dick X and Tyrone Leroy Jenkins, or Williams, and they'll run a little bit here, they'll run a little bit here, oh, Tyrone won't go ahead and eat me, Ma Dick won't eat me, well, yes, they will when they get hungry. Until wiggers are being, you know, well, butt screwed by niggers. And they still won't believe it's happening, even while it is happening. And, you know, folks, I mean, I was having a conversation with, you know, with Pastor John Britton about Benjamin Church. And I pointed out that Benjamin Church did not have a free hand to deal with the Indians in King Philip's War until a bunch of little old Puritan do-gooders who sort of thought the Indians are our friends. Until them goofy bastards had been killed and raped and, you know, killed and raped and scalped by Indians and were dead. Essentially, Benjamin Church did not have a free hand until, essentially, all these stupid goofy bastards who essentially let King Philip run wild or let King Philip get guns. Until they were dead, and Benjamin Church had a free hand, none of this thing was settled. So, in many cases, I'm going ahead and looking at Harold Covington's little tard corral, and I hear Harold Covington, you know, get a little bit discouraged or something like that, talk about it. And the fact of the matter is, if Harold Covington would die of a heart attack tomorrow, essentially the Northwest Republic would pretty well be dead. Oh, yeah, would you agree with that, Northwest? Okay, well, it looks like you have to work.
Basically, of course, it's like, I kind of feel like, I don't want to toot my own horn, but I kind of feel like if I and maybe a couple of people could get up there, we could solve that problem. That's for another time.
And you need to go to bed here. Okay, Northwest, you have a nice one here, and thanks for finding me that monkey picture here. Really appreciate it. And I don't know, I might need your help here. If it has a dead hard drive, I might need your help later on this week here, something like that. Anyway, hell victory, and you have a good one, Northwest. Okay. All right, well, good night. You have a good one. Anyway, we're pretty well talking about the movement, and what you have is that you have all these little cards, and they get in, and anytime there is some chance of forward progress, and forward progress is essentially halted and dragged backwards by sheer retardedness, like this Steve Elder, you know, command dorking fag retard. Essentially, all this character can do is he's a hardcore unemployable who lives off his squaw wife who works for the government, and essentially all he does is live and talk guns. Well, folks, there's no money in that. There's no production in that. Essentially, McFag is just simply a parasite who hangs like a dingleberries and then thinks that he's the main wheel. and you let these retards, these illusional retards, run things, why things are going to get screwed up. Same way with all these little so-called Christian identity shows. When you're in the pattern, retards, you know, idiots, the smarter ones, like Eli James, cannot go ahead and preach from the Bible because he believes stupid crap, like the Roman Catholic Church put Satan in a pit from 500 to 1500, then he broke with Finkelstein, and now it's 800 to 1800. Ridiculous crap, which is not even Protestant, much less Christian identity. And then you have to think. Essentially, Adolf Hitler is the Archangel Michael? What the heck does reading from some hybrid nigger's recital of what Adolf Hitler did, how the hell does that solve anything? And the answer is, it doesn't. It never did. It never will. So what to do? What to do? And the only answer I have to those who go ahead and listen to this show, oh, by the way, over on Sperm Front, Liar Bill DeCluse was having a shit fit because some moderator went ahead and closed the thread and kicked out this Richard Lionheart for essentially outing, maliciously outing some other Sperm Front tard. So they went ahead and banned old Richard Lionfart. And here's old Mark Downey and Clint Downey having a shit fit because here's a pagan who went ahead and interfered in our Christian identity. Well, folks, first of all, Mark Downey and Clint Downey are not Christian identity. They're just retards. They're just the sort of Jim and Tammy Baker of pseudo-Christian identity. But Liar Bill has, you know, Liar Bill, Munsnuts, had a big fight about it. He's in, supposedly, California, doing whatever, and having a fight with this Banjo Billy, who actually wants to whip his ass. And chicken shitting out of it. You know, making a challenge and chicken shit out of it. Now, when Liar Bill went ahead and made a challenge, I just simply said, come on down, Munsnuts, I'll geld you. And then Munsnuts, well, will you tell me when to have a fist fight? I said, well, you say anything about a fist fight here. I get the choice of the weapons on the ground, and I choose gelding knives at zero paces, my living room, no witnesses. Well, Munsnuts has not been down ever since, you know, he ran off October 11th, early wee hours. And didn't even last 3 days with me. So Munsnuts goes ahead, and essentially Banjo Billy said he's going to release these private messages where, you know, Liar Bill essentially admits that all he's wanting to do is just play little games, little chicken shit games. And I'll tell Banjo Billy, go ahead and reveal it over on Stumbling. Now, my secret forum is still up, and I maintain the same number. So essentially when it gets done, I'll just simply have a way to go ahead and take the backup and go ahead and put the, you know, stuff up on White Nationalist Forum. And I think whitenationalist.org will be up. But in the future, how this thing will do here, Colm wanted to go ahead and record this thing. What I will do is I will go ahead and splice it together with some music. I'll splice it together with some music every so often. And what I will do is essentially send it to him as a 16 kilobyte, you know, file attachment. And then he is urged to go ahead and, well, essentially put it onto his file sharing program. He has a bigger file sharing program in one fell swoop, and I told him not to go ahead and tell people what the big overall picture was, other than to people I can go ahead and trust, like Frankenwager, Poopy Dog, or, you know, Trash Can Man, or whoever. And, you know, they're not to go ahead and give the overall thing here, but to go ahead and take the individual parts and put them up. If Brian Real takes down one particular show, what of it? Now, Brian Real has nothing, you know, he's like Steve Elder. There's nothing better to do than to try to go ahead and take down web pages and pictures of the little manser. But the problem of it is, as the time goes on, people are learning that essentially you side with Brian Real, all you're doing is buying a lawsuit.
And when corporate lawyers cost $450 an hour, where's the money in that? Just going ahead and being politically correct and helping a little mamzer, a little nigger boy from Mentor, go ahead and save himself here. For example, you know, Peter Les Goodmanzer, who I think is a Jew, over on Nimbusters. And Frank Wigg was chewing the ass on the Nimbusters, and they were not the same as they used to be. And they're not. Most of them are just sort of pussies. They become pussies because Brian Real has been sodomizing them pretty badly. Now, folks, I'm not going to be taking a vacation from the Internet. My Internet vacations are over with. I am working slowly on this lawsuit. I've got to go ahead and help Pastor John Britton with some of his legal work. But essentially, you know, I found out a week ago that the old Buck and John had been sort of making a deal with, John Britton didn't really think that, you know, there would be any peace, but, you know, Buck talked him into it, so he went ahead and went along with it, even though, really, John didn't have anything in there. You don't have a web page. He's not going to be responding to Brian Real at all. I mean, hell, he was more obedient, at least to me, than he was to his lawyer. I mean, his lawyer told him not to have anything more to do with Brian Real and not get on the show or anything like that here. And chances are, when this thing gets settled, he probably is not going to go ahead and come back on the show. You know, John wants to have a quiet life. Me, I'm not worried about it. But as it goes on, they tried to go ahead and cut a deal, or Buck did. All Brian Real did was wait till he took down that one picture he didn't like over on Skype Assholes. And essentially, Brian Real went back worse than ever. And folks, what does the Bible say about that? The Bible says you do not have anything to do with Canaanites other than to exterminate them. They're evil. They're the spawn of Satan. There's no such thing as a good Jew. No such thing as a good Jew. There's Jews who ain't quite as evil as other Jews, sort of like Eli James, is not as evil or vicious as they'll think, but that still makes them far more dangerous because then the idiots who believe there's such a thing as a good Jew believe that Eli James is a good guy. He's a nice guy. He's not really a Jew, even though he looks somewhat like a Sephardic Jew. He's Portuguese. No, you idiots. Folks, a Jew is a Jew is a Jew is a Jew. And folks, it's not going to go ahead and do you any, you know, good here if Eli James screws you far more efficiently than Bill Fink did, because Bill Fink is a nasty Jew, and Eli James is a, quote, good Jew. Folks, if you are what you claim to be, in Christian Day, you believe certain things. You believe certain things. You believe in a great tribulation. You believe that, hey, the white race is going to be, you know, you believe that Yahweh's servant nation, the white people, the ones with souls, Yahweh's servant nation will be saved. But that's a long way from individual survival. Most of Yahweh's non-servant nation who are disobedient, who are proud-hearted, who are stiff-necked, who are stupid, who worship themselves, most of them will not be saved. Most of them are just simply a cancer. And this cancer will die. It's fatty tissue. It's superfluous fatty tissue that's going to die in the Great Tribulation. So yes, some of you will, you know, some of Yahweh's servant nation will survive. And that's why you need to get close to Yahweh. That's why you need to get out. Certainly. If there's going to be a race war or something like that, why you need to stay out of certain places. In Baltimore or Milwaukee or something like that, because niggers are running wild. And folks, you do not want to be. You do not want to be the first white man who pulls out a gun and shoots rampaging, raping niggers. Because, folks, you will get screwed. There's going to come a time here whether you live or not, it's whether on the fine line here between when civilization is breaking down and when it is thoroughly broke down, and you have no choice but to go ahead and be a hard man. You do not. I mean, whether or not you live is going to be, you know, by dumb luck, it's going to be whether Yahweh wants you to live. But folks, you can go ahead and improve the odds of survival in your favor by simply pulling your head out of your ass and doing what you should do and what you know you should do, because the law of Yahweh is written on your heart. I was talking to old Joe Pennsylvania last night, and old Joe was just dithering, oh, what should I do? What should I do? And warrior son of David revealed himself, I think, as Brian Wright, because he did the same sort of little bully, little gook, mams or horse shit that he usually likes to do. What should I do? I said, well, you know what you should do if you be white. I had to go ahead and force, like, pulling teeth from you to get you to admit that Brian Real wasn't white. Visser went ahead and admitted Brian Real wasn't white. Visser didn't have a problem with saying that he looks like a, you know, looks like a spick. And then I said, well, he looks more like a nigger to me. Visser didn't have a problem with that. Well, that's because Visser's a man for himself here. He's every man's for himself and the man's the world. But folks, you need to get yourself straight. And one of the things not to do, one of the things not to do, is hang around critters who are so freaking delusional they don't even know what they are. Like when Fag doesn't even know he's sort of a Jew here. Or these creators. Throughout this movement, throughout this bowel movement, we have critters who are not what they appear to be, who are, in fact, directly opposite of what they appear to be. You have McBragg pretending to be a Christian Israelite and how he hates Jews and non-whites when he himself is a Tubal Kenite Pictish Mamzer, according to dual seedline Christian identity Orthodox Comparean theory. He's not an Israelite. He has a bunch of Mamzer and a bunch of Jew in him of some sort, which is why he acts the way he does. He's delusional. He's vicious. He hangs around with other delusional mamzers like Mac Dog, Williams, the Wheelos, who I'm not quite sure is either with Eli James or Finkelschini or both. And that's another thing you have to look on, is that you have these people who claim to be persons of one or the other who essentially are going wherever they are allowed to go. Last week we had some people who were talking, you know, somebody who rather aptly said is that you have James Wickstrom, who is white, but who is a Zog informant because the FBI saved him from getting scragged by the husband of the woman they'd stolen. And that man ended losing his life in a federal prison. And you have Mike Delaney going between him and Fink cannot stand Wickstrom. And you have Eli James. And you have all these critters hanging around together who, essentially, they're just sort of like Sauron's orcs. Sauron's orcs. They hate one another, but essentially they hate the elves or the men far more. And essentially they fight and they quarrel in between us, between themselves. But when it comes down to it, they serve Zog. They serve Sauron. They serve evil far more. So they hate one another, and if left to themselves, they would go ahead and kill each other, just like Jews would kill each other if they didn't have so many outside enemies to instead live off and to have to worry about being killed by them, like the Palestinians or by the white man or whoever. Same way with these creators. A normal creator hates Harold Covington more than they even hate me from Christian Identity, because Harold Covington has said a number of harsh but true things about Benny Butler Klassen. And here you have a whole bunch of creators running around with Harold Covington. Answer, I smell a Zog rat. I was going ahead and looking, and I seen that, of all things, Scott Charles Thornton, who was with Morris Gillette way back in the spring of 2005, who spent 6 years in prison with Gillette and got out, and then was talking against Gillette, and then was pretend to be part of Gillette's Legion of Skanks and pretend to be Aryan Nations, and now he's pretending to be a creatard. He was pretending to be a wilderness before then. And you go ahead and you look and you see an Anglo mestizo, a sort of Mamzer critter, who hangs around. And essentially I think Gillette's parole officer said, no, you two, since you went ahead and conspired to commit a crime, i.e. rob banks for Gillette's Bolivian nose candy together, you cannot hang around each other. It doesn't look right. So here he is. He's on Covington's Facebook page, on his Northwest Intelligence Facebook page. What's he doing there? Answer, spying, snooping, trying to go ahead and find fools. Covington has a bad case of creatarditis. He has a bad case of OCI, in the terms of confidential informant-itis. He has all these critters who have no business being around. And then you have these people who essentially, like Joe Pennsylvania, who like playing the real game. And folks, normal white people do not tolerate for a minute Brian Real. Normal white people do not tolerate Jews like Eli James, and they certainly don't tolerate them in their churches. So here I am getting a hard time because I just simply say these people do not belong. These people are not even people. They're not even human beings as far as we are concerned. And they're not human beings as far as what you say you believe in is concerned. So what are they doing around you? And the answer is that they are within you. And because, like Carol Covington, has gotten to where he is not maintaining any quality control over his organization. And as a result, he has snitches. He has stupid twats like Claudia Chadwick, the Connecticut tantric flyer, the delusional Pennsylvania faggot who wants to be, who wants to 1 minute pretend to be a Thor worshiper and the next minute pretend that he gets to decide who Christian identity clergy is. You have all these sorts of critters here, and you don't know anything about them, but what little you do know is awful. It's bad. What are they doing in this wonderful bowel movement? The answer is that they are like Jews or Mamzers and the rest. They are trying to get themselves in, worm themselves in, into a position of trust to where they go ahead and then they destroy healthy tissue. They try to drive out those like myself who warn the healthy animals about it, and they drive them out. Now, is that a bad thing? No. Because my point is that there is no saving Zog. There is no successful man-made revolution against Zog. There is no solution except for the Great Tribulation. But what Harold Covington is doing by allowing all these critters within him, and just like Alex Linder and just like Spermfront and the rest here, all these people are doing is just playing at a game. They're playing at being revolution at their wiggers. They're playing at hunting white nationalists, dangerous white nationalists, that they're sort of like Brian Rio or Liar Bill DeCluis, who essentially is a low-rent Dave Hall. Allowing these people in within you, who you should go ahead and look at and know don't belong, should be an indication that actually you don't belong. Folks, the purpose of this show, The Movement Turd, is to warn people off from hanging around these people who essentially are just pulling your dicks, trying to go ahead and create something with evil, worthless critters who have no business being around. And if you truly do believe, like Covington does, that creators are just a bunch of old delusionals who like living with Benny Buttfuck Klassen, what are you doing with known creators? Why are you allowing these critters in? Why are you allowing a bunch of Polacks and a bunch of other vermin who essentially an equality follower will not have anything to do with? And the answer is, in many cases, Harold Covington seems to be a universalist. He seems to believe in a universal revolt against Zog to counter the universal Zog Babylon of one rule over the others here. And the truth of the matter is this movement has been so badly fragmented into, he calls them tendencies, but actually Christian identity. I mean the real Christian identity, and then your false Christian identity, like Eli James, Bill Fink, and the rest of these tards. And a number of white nationalists beat the Pierceites, who, you know, Pierce was a Zogbot. He received $400,000 from the order. He was bought and paid for. He was a listening post for Zog, which Covington has said. So, folks, why are these people around you? Why do you allow these people to be around you? Why do you got to go ahead and group up in the belief that unity will save or solve something when it won't? In fact, you'll be unifying yourself, just like the Roman Catholic Church. You're unifying all sorts of mamzers and all sorts of critters who have no part in Yahweh's kingdom, pretending to be Christians. Why is that? And the answer is that things have not changed one bit. You still have evil people running wild. You still have evil people doing stuff. So, folks, if you are in the movement, get out of the movement. Get out of the bowel movement. Start saving yourself. Start finding out who you can trust. And don't join any Gruppenführer or whatever who says that he's going to go ahead and promise you salvation. He's going to save the white race without the white race having to undergo the great purge of the great tribulation. So anyway, I'm going to go ahead, and I think this will be the last one, except for maybe a blurb or two at the very end. So, Hail Victory, and we'll go ahead and see if I come on, you know, another section. Hail Victory. Bye-bye.
By the waters of Babylon, there we wept and there sat down, hung our harps on the willow trees. Zion, yet we remember thee. Then our captors required of us, sing a song of Zion now. Could we sing the eternal songs by the waters of Babylon? Let my right hand forget her skill, if Jerusalem I forget, if I fail to remember thee, let my tongue cleave unto my mouth. But we thought of Jerusalem where we sat near Zion's stream, far above even our chief joy. We remember Jerusalem. In that day of Jerusalem's fall, when the children of Edom said, down with her, down into the ground, even to the foundations. O thou daughter of Babylon, to thy ruin hasting on. Happy he that rewardeth thee, just as thou unto us hast done.
Okay, folks, I said this was the last, well, previous was the last episode of the Out, you know, Movement Turd. What I'm doing is that I'm not really recording anything on TalkShoe, and part of that is so that Brian Rio doesn't really have any room to bitch about what is being said on TalkShoe, because, hey, nothing is being, well, it's not being officially said, you know, said on TalkShoe. Essentially, this show is unlisted for a reason. And perhaps when I see TalkShoe, they will go ahead and bring back the Movement Turd. Or they'll allow, well, me or Colm to go ahead and put the thing back up. And go ahead and add the rest of the shows here. But for now, what I'm doing is that essentially this is, in many cases, an underground, unlisted show. And I've heard a lot of people say that they really miss going ahead and having, you know, having the old shows. You know, they listen to the old shows and they want some new shows. So what I'm doing is, well, I didn't get around to doing it this Saturday either. I'm going to try to recondition an hour of Great Tribulation to be a religious show. A religious show in which I go ahead and speak of the sermon for the day and how it relates to current events. And, folks, I already got the stuff that, you know, working after a fashion. So, yes, I do want to go ahead and do that here, but then that means 3 hour shows here. And it's easier because I do something totally different, Covington. I really do not go ahead. I just go however this thing leads me, and I go ahead and speak. And essentially this show is sort of live, but it's not. You know what I mean? So, the next show is on Thursday at 8 o'clock. Well, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. 8 o'clock my time. And folks, I've always made it quite clear. I mean, I'm going to go ahead and use email. I'm going to go ahead and use email a little bit more. Had Russ on there earlier today. And folks, you know, had some ad hoc shows here. Some of them there, maybe not so long. I tried to go ahead and split this thing up. And in any case, I think I did cover what was going on in the movement. Essentially, DNNS is not, I mean, it's the same old garbage pit here, so sperm front. You know, the most interesting thing which has been going on, and this kid from wherever said it, is that DNNS used to be the place where the drama was made, but now where the drama is made is over on, you know, Harold Covington's Facebook page. So that is the case of what it is here. I mean, essentially, over on Harold Covington's Facebook page, I'm a top predator. But, you know, so be it here. So, folks, this is what I'm going to do with the Movement Turd. I'm going to try to not go ahead and leave things so much in a box. I'll try to go ahead and just put them together and have a one-hour show, a religious show, so that people can go ahead and see what a religious show, a real Christian identity religious show, is supposed to be like. And it's not about, essentially, Eli James coming up, you know, digging up some new shit out of Apocrypha and claiming that, you know, that Mayans, you know, a bunch of cannibalistic, bloodthirsty, flesh-eating, human flesh-eating, well, they weren't really human, beasts of the field, eating beasts of the fields, beardless, are actually Israelites, and coming up with stupid crap like that about the Book of Nostradamus is based on 2nd Esdras, and how, you know, and then even more ridiculous shit from William Pierce, well, not from William Pierce, William Fink, go ahead, I mean, I'm getting tired. So anyway, folks, I just want to go ahead and say where the Movement Turd is going to be headed. And, folks, I do got some more stuff I need to do tonight, so we'll go ahead and cover it later. So I'm going to go ahead and try to start this show. And, in any case, you know, just leave it at that here. So I'm going to go ahead and say, Hail Victory, may Yahweh bless. Good night. White men clad in black are we, hi-yi-oh, and we'll stamp out the tyranny, hi-yi-oh.
right they go. We vote ho on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White they go, civil war ho on the courthouse lawn, let red blood flow. With Adam, Dild, and Edith, and Kyrieleis, all who was then the ruling land, Kyrieleis. Why they go, we vote ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. Why they go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawn, let red blood flow. For white men their rifles shoot, the Jews are laid low. On sogling necks we stomp our boots to stamp about castle. White men go, we vote ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawn, let red blood flow. The regime must only love its greed, hi-yi-oh. The love of God our only need, hi-yi-oh. White men go, we vote ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawn, let red blood flow. We'll conquer for our cause is right, hi-yi-oh. Our sons won't have to go and fight, hi-yi-oh. White men go, we vote ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawn, let red blood flow.